Today's episode of Rob Has a Podcast is sponsored by TrueCar. Now, finding clarity on what's going to happen in the NFL playoffs is certainly difficult, but it does not have to be difficult to find clarity when you're looking for the best price for a brand new car. That is when you shop with TrueCar.com or the TrueCar mobile app, because you can pick out all the features you want for your brand new car. Get it exactly the way that you want, and you could see what other people are paying for the same exact car down to the zip code. People who are using TrueCar have been saving an average of over $3,000 off of MSRP, and you don't have any hassles or headaches that you would associate with buying a new car. It's how car buying was always meant to be. Over 2 million cars have been sold by that TrueCar certified dealer network, and there's over 10,000 dealers in the TrueCar certified dealer network. You'll work directly with a TrueCar certified dealer when you visit TrueCar.com or download the TrueCar app and start saving. TrueCar, never overpay. Coming to you live from the 50-yard line, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who is much less excited about the NFL playoffs than I was a week ago, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a special, fun edition, hopefully, of Rob Has a Podcast. I am Rob Cesternino, and I am joined by a man for a very silly, but hopefully fun exercise here during the Survivor offseason. Of course, Akiva is my co-host on the Seinfeld post-show recap over on postshowrecaps.com. You heard him on the Survivor voicemails this past season, and he is also the host of his own NFL podcast, 32 Fans in 32 Days. Please welcome Akiva Winokur.
I feel like we should have done this podcast a week ago, Rob, when we still followed football.
Yep. Akiva and I are both fans of the New York Jets. And even though I thought it was kind of unthinkable that the Jets were going to lose in week 17 after winning five games in a row, looking like that they were going to be juggernauts in the AFC after defeating the Patriots in overtime in week 16, I told Akiva, hey, what do you think is going to happen this weekend? And Akiva, this is why he is a master prognosticator. He had 100% confidence that the Jets would lose this weekend.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was right. But I feel like 25 years of history has taught us that we should never be confident.
No, we should not. But the die had already been cast on saying that we were going to be doing this podcast, because today we are going to be casting an entire Survivor season with only the quarterbacks of the NFL, and then we are going to be simulating out this season. I've done this exercise a number of times before. Josh Wigler and I went through The Walking Dead. We did also through Game of Thrones. And so here we are to talk about quarterback Survivor. Akiva, do we have a catchy name for this season?
I feel like it'll come to us as we go.
So we will go through it and come up with a great name for quarterback Survivor, QBS. Well, we'll figure it out as we go along. So Akiva, why in the world are we talking about quarterback Survivor?
I mean, it's the week before the playoffs. You know, the Survivor season's over, so you're struggling for content. Let's be fair.
Yeah. Duly noted.
We said, like, what's the stupidest thing we could possibly do? And then we decided to spend 3 years talking about a 25-year-old television show for a few hours every week. And they're like, oh, what's even stupider than that? I was like, oh, what if we did a fake season of a reality television show? But instead of taking those people, we cast the quarterbacks from the NFL in their places and then talked about it like it would really happen.
Right. And so I have to give a bit of a hat tip to Jordan Parhar, who was, I'm not sure if this was his idea originally or if we had been talking about it and he was pushing for it. And he was scheduled to be here with us today, but we let all of the listeners vote if they could vote one person off of this podcast, and they voted off Jordan. And so unfortunately that he can no longer be with us here today.
Well, I thought it was that we refused to put in Toronto Argonauts quarterback in the mix here and
yeah,
he quit.
So hopefully Jordan is able to enjoy this podcast, but it's just going to be Akiva and I going through this. So here is the exercise at hand, where we first have to come up with what is the format for this Survivor season, and then figure out from a casting perspective, we're going to put our Lynn Spillman hats on, and we're going to try to cast not necessarily the best quarterbacks that we can find, but the quarterbacks that would make for the best TV show, but also have some combination of star power, where it's like, let's say hypothetically, there was a quarterback, which would be great television, but nobody knows who they are. They might not get on the show, and vice versa. Everybody might know who somebody is, could be a household name, but they'd be terrible television. We might not cast them, or maybe we might, but we're going to talk through it.
I think this is really a golden era for like very good quarterbacks. So there's so many people to talk about. If we had done this 20 years ago and we'd be like, okay, Eric Kramer, now we need 8 more, you know, we'd really be struggling. But
right.
I feel like this is the perfect time to do it.
We're also not going to delve into, hey, here's this quarterback. Oh, they wouldn't do it. So in this fictional world that we're talking about, Roger Goodell has signed off on this. And maybe this is like where the NFL goes for a year if this concussion mess doesn't quite go away, where they say, okay, well, instead of, we're going to just take a season off to figure things out. We're going to instead have the quarterbacks play Survivor, NFL on CBS. This is Synergy. And so that's what we're going to bring you one fall.
I feel like, I mean, that would be, I wouldn't rule it out. I do think the problem is that Jim Nance would probably oust Jeff Probst as the host.
In this fictional world, maybe the NFL, you know, everybody's still under contract. Everybody's contractually obligated to play and they have to go through it. And they're sort of like, well, this will really look good. And then again, once we have this Survivor season, this will build up a lot of goodwill. People will forget about the concussion stuff and the NFL will come back next season.
Yeah, I mean, that's a questionable strategy. And I also like, are we sending
would
the wide?
Would that be the most questionable strategy from this league?
I mean, are we sending like the wide receivers to Big Brother and like, you know, some defensive players to the Amazing Race? Like, are we going full CBS? NFL Synergy?
I think everything's on the table, but maybe because like each of the networks to sort of compensate them, we're not, because the NFL's not giving the money back that they paid out for the TV contracts. So maybe the wide receivers are going to do a season of The Voice and we got to sort of like service each of these other networks where maybe there's going to be like rotating hosts filling in on First Take on ESPN as a make good. So we got to figure out something to do for Fox. So each of them, maybe they get an American Idol season for the last American Idol season. So it's just a make good for each of the networks.
It's not a bad idea. I could see like Manti Te'o starring in like NCIS, you know, some fake place.
Right. So we've got to fix this problem. And the concussion movie was a bigger deal in this fictional universe. So that is where we end up today. Now, Akiva, before we get into what the season is going to be about, I would like to suggest that I think we try to keep this cast small. I think that we should try to keep this so it's manageable for both us and for our listeners to keep this to be a 16-person season.
I'm not against the 16-person season. I know you're a traditionalist with your fake seasons, so that's, you know, that's fair. I do think like when you and Josh do such a great job doing these, sometimes you almost like need a pen and paper, like, wait, who's on which tribe? Like the, you know, what happened to, you know, Rick and Carl? Like, you know, so I do think the lesser, you know, the less amount of people, the easier it will be. So I co-sign that.
So let's go into it with 16. And then if there are some casting people that it's like, oh, we have to have this person, we could reconsider it. But let's just start on paper with the 16-person format. I also like that there's 32 NFL teams. So half of the quarterbacks would be represented with a 16-person season.
Well, you're assuming that we don't have two quarterbacks from one team, which could happen.
I guess that possibly could happen, but that seems like that would be some sort of an unfair alliance unless they sort of hate each other.
Well, you know, that's possible. I feel like, you know, we won't know till we, you know, you don't go in with ideas. It's not like they go in for Kageya knowing they're doing Brains, Brawn, and Beauty. You know, that sort of, if it figures itself out in the process.
Okay. So are you saying that you don't want to fall into the trap that allegedly Survivor fell into in San Juan del Sur? You say that don't come up with the season first. Let's look at who we have on paper.
Yeah. Know that you have gold with the Christie brothers and then cast around them.
Okay, that's interesting to me because I felt like it would be an easier exercise to sort of come up with what's the season that we're doing and then sort of cast from there. Because I feel like if we just ended up with a bunch of the quarterbacks and then we sort of say, what is the season? And I feel like it's going to be very tricky if we have a tribe that's just a mishmash of just random guys versus another mishmash of random guys.
Okay, so that's fair. And we could also do both. Like, you could, you know, you don't have to decide till they get to the island on day one. You know, we could look through the names and see what we have, or you could say, hey, here's the theme I've been thinking of. I mean, the most basic theme, I guess, is AFC versus NFC.
I agree. And I kind of feel like that is the direction that we should go, especially if it's two tribes of eight, AFC versus NFC, we can go through. Now, if we go through and feel like, oh boy, NFC, we've got nobody, but we've got 13 people from the AFC, that would be great. We could revisit it. The other thing I think that would be fun, but probably trickier to figure out, would be some sort of three tribe format.
Yeah, I think that's in play. I mean, it would be very easy to do like a brains, brawn, beauty type thing. The only problem is, I mean, everyone could count as a brawn.
No, but it would be, I thought about this, of brains versus brawn versus beauty, where it's like brains is sort of like the very like cerebral quarterback, the guy who is more of like the game manager, whereas brawn is like the guy with like a big arm, but is probably very mistake prone, sort of like your Brett Favre prototype. And then beauty is like the very flashy quarterback that like does it with their legs.
Okay. I mean, so that's an option, I think.
Be tough to, we'd have to probably shoehorn some people in there.
Yeah. And plus, yeah, you'd get a, you know, I mean, what was like the most egregious thing, but you'd get some sort of, you know, oh, they don't really belong there type thing. But I, you know, like Lindsay on the Braun tribe or something.
Yeah.
But I think I mean, how about we go through it and we figure it out from there?
Okay. I think we also have some fun with a potential like old school versus new school type season.
That's not bad. Like the younger players versus the older players.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if someone is listening to this but doesn't follow football, the AFC-NFC breakdown won't help them. But really, neither will any sort of breakdown. Like, there's nothing we can do.
Right. There's nobody who doesn't know that Jay Cutler is in the NFC but knows he has a big arm and is prone to make mistakes.
Right. So we recommend, I think, that you take like a pen and paper and you almost have to follow along with us.
Okay. Either way, I feel like there will be somebody who knows nothing about football who will listen to this, but will have some sort of enjoyment. At least one person.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, we'll try and, you know, make it as, you know, we'll try and paint a vivid, you know, we'll try and give some of these players, you know, a better edit than maybe like Kimmy had on this past season.
Okay, we will try.
We'll know who it, everyone is.
All right, so where do you want to start? We're going to go through it by the divisions and figure out who's where.
Yeah, I'd say let's do it like old school division style, starting with the AFC East, the most important division, and working our way down.
When you say old school division styles, are we going like AFC Central?
No, we don't have to like, you know, we don't have to like kick the Texans out of the league and stuff. I just mean, you know.
Well, when you said old school divisions, that made me think that, I mean, not the current divisions.
Well, because like we used to read them in a newspaper, it would start with the AFC East. There's no rule that you have to start with the AFC. But, you know, when newspapers existed, that's, you know, it would always be AFC East, AFC North, AFC South,
okay,
AFC West, and then, you know, so on.
All right, so we're going to go through the teams, and we're going to decide if the quarterback is a definite or is in the maybe pile. And then we're also going to try to come up with a survivor comparable so that people can sort of get their mind around what kind of player this would be. Now, this is going to be a very unusual season because it will be the first Survivor season cast with all men.
Yeah, and I made a joke that Jim Nance would want to do the season instead of Jeff Probst. But there's no way Jeff Probst is giving up in a season with 20 alpha males and no women.
Yeah, this could be Jeff's favorite season of all time. He'll be very excited when he sees this list.
Nicely done, Rob.
Yes.
He gets to call 20 different people by their last name here.
Oh, it'd be great. All right. So we cannot start in the AFC East without beginning this conversation with the man that Rodney once said that he was.
I'm going to be the leader no matter what. I'm the Tom Brady here.
The Tom Brady. No question, right? He's a no-doubter. Tom Brady's on the show.
When you make the season, you have a couple guys in mind, and one of them is Tom Brady.
Yeah.
As much as animosity as I have toward him personally, and I, you know, he's probably a terrible human being in real life, we have to put him on here.
Tom Brady has everything that we want in NFL quarterback survivor because that he has, of course, an outstanding resume. Probably the most recognizable player in the entire league. He has star power, and of course, he has looming and lagging controversy surrounding him at all times. And in a game like Survivor, I think that there will be a lot of question about his morality in the game.
Yeah, I do think there'll be a lot of like, so Tom, you know, when people were accusing you of deflating those balls.
This is that tribal council.
Yeah, this is a tribal, or even at the challenge, like he'll pull like the Wigglesworth and try and get an answer out of him before a challenge.
Right. But don't you think that Tom Brady is going to stonewall Jeff at a lot of the tribal councils? Like when Jeff is like, all right, Tom, I gotta know. So tell me, did you know? And like, well, I'm not talking about this.
We're on to the next immunity challenge.
We're on to the next immunity challenge. I feel like that's going to really frustrate Jeff.
Yeah, if you're going for sound bites, do not invite Tom Brady. If you're looking for a pretty face and someone to sell the commercials, then you invite Brady.
Coming into this game, I think, with a big target on his back, too.
Yeah, I don't know how many friends he has. Some of these QBs have to be buddies with each other. You know, he's older than most of the guys we're going to cast. I do think that he's going to struggle for alliances. I feel like the Patriots are pretty universally detested throughout the league and the whole world as a whole. I think he will probably have a huge target, but we'll see what happens to him.
Okay, who is the survivor comp for Tom Brady?
I think the best, there's a lot of options. You could definitely say Jeremy. There's some comps there. But to me, you have to go with Boston Rob.
Yes, it's so on the nose, but it really is perfect.
Yeah, and they're both winners. They're probably like the biggest name out there. And they both have a wife that's more successful than they are.
Oh, come on. Come on there. So Boston Rob, and also, I think that Boston Rob, if there was some sort of Survivor Deflategate scandal, I think that you could probably argue where maybe he really wants to win. I think that that's what you would say about Tom Brady, too. It's like, it's not so much that he was breaking the rules. It's just that he wanted to win more than the other guys did. And I think that you could probably make the same sort of case for Boston Rob.
Yeah, like he was carrying his family on his back and some HGH in his pocket.
Right. Well, now, hold on. Don't bring HGH now. We don't want to get sued for Tom. I don't believe there's any Tom Brady HGH scandal.
No. But Boston Rob, who knows what he was up to in season 22.
Don't allege these things, Akiva.
We'll just put a one. You know how you say no offense? That means like everything you say after that is fine. You said no offense. Can we just put allegedly like at the very beginning of the podcast? Because I'm going to make some claims here that I'm not sure will hold up in a court.
Right. This is a work of fiction. Again, this is an alternate universe.
Yes. In this alternate universe, who knows what, Boston Rob and Tom Brady are up to.
Okay. So Tom Brady is definitely on the season. No doubt about it.
Yeah, you got to have him.
Okay. So let's go through the rest of the AFC East, which is much more of a mixed bag. Let's talk about our hometown New York Jets. Does Ryan Fitzpatrick make the cut?
I think you have to. I would put him on the bubble right now. I think he's an interesting casting choice. He's got the beard. I feel like people will love the beard. He went to Harvard. He's probably an interesting guy. You don't hear much about him outside of off the field. But to me, he's a guy who could get cast on a real season of Survivor, I think, if he was interested, and realistically, where some of these guys would never even, consider it. But I let's put him on the maybe pile, unless you have a different opinion.
No, he's certainly an interesting guy. I think he's a bit R.A. Dickey-esque. I know he has the reputation that he's from Harvard, but he's not really exactly an intellectual. He seems like probably the most blue-collar guy that you're going to get from Harvard.
He is blue-collar, and on the field, he plays like a buffoon. Like he does so many dumb things. He's unaware right. that football is played with a clock. He's really, if you didn't know that he went to Harvard, you would assume he went to DeVry or something.
So do you have a Survivor comp for Ryan Fitzpatrick? I mean, he has the beard like Max Dawson. He went to Harvard like Cochran.
Yeah, I wrote down Max Dawson. It's not a perfect comp, but I do think like he's very tall. He's walking out there with a beard. And I don't know who his Shireen would be, but I guess we could figure that out.
Brandon Marshall?
Brandon Marshall won't be there, but it is worth mentioning that one of the best reasons to do this season is the when we get to the family visit, we've never had a family visit like this.
Oh yeah, the family visit would be great.
And we're getting Giselle out there in the middle of the jungle somewhere.
Gronk or Belichick's not coming out.
Wait, so you think he's inviting like Gronk or Belichick, a guy on his team? You're like, who's he, coach?
Yes. I think that that's part of the stipulations for this season, that the loved ones visit will be a teammate or somebody from the NFL also.
I think if you look at some of the celebrity wives that we're dealing with here, I think that's a poor business decision, because in an all-male season, we're trying to get some women interested.
I guess
at least have some females. And they haven't seen a woman, remember, other than maybe like someone, some producer.
So what do you think is going to happen? What is this, a conjugal visit?
Well, it could be like a Taj Eddie George situation. I don't know.
All right. So Fitzpatrick is a maybe. We can't spend too much time on any of these people because we got 32 teams to go through. And some of these people will go through rather quickly, I would imagine. What about Ryan Tannehill by the Miami Dolphins? Is he somebody that we're going to take a look at?
You know, I think the AFC is a little more stacked than the NFC looking at it. So if we're even considering doing AFC versus NFC, and if we're cutting down to 16 potentially, I don't see how Tannehill makes the cut. He's not relevant right now. He's probably at a slight risk of even losing his job before the next season. And I watched the Dolphins on Hard Knocks, and you know, the only thing I remember about him is that his wife was very pretty. Like, I really don't, you know, you really didn't get a lot of sound bites. And that's a reality show. So if you're not getting anything on Hard Knocks, I'm not sure what we're getting when he's going to be fighting with, you know, Peyton Manning for screen time.
What about Tyrod Taylor? A little bit of a newcomer to the NFL QB scene. Could be a wild card.
Yeah, Tyrod Taylor is probably an underrated player in real life. Like, I do think, you know, he's got something there. But, you know, I was even Googling him. Like, there's really nothing interesting about him. To me, he's one of the biggest lock no's for me.
It's too bad that we didn't have NFL coaches survivor, because Tyrod Taylor's coach would be a no doubt casting decision in Rex Ryan. But I don't know if there's a place for Tyrod Taylor.
No. I mean, do you have Taylor just in case he makes it and then have like force his family visit to be Rex Ryan? I don't think it's worth it. I don't see Tyrod Taylor, such a newcomer, really. You know, this could end up being like the challenge, you know, on MTV's challenge. A lot of times, like the alliances are frequently like veterans versus rookies. So we could see like some veteran rookie alliances, and Tyrod Taylor really would be one of the new kids on the block, would be targeted.
Akiva, if this podcast is successful, if people like it, I think that we should say that the NFL coaches survivor is very much in play for first week of September 2016.
Yeah, I don't think we have to worry about this podcast being successful, but we could still do that one anyway to torture people.
All right, let's go to the AFC North, okay? And why don't we talk about Andy Dalton, who has certainly been under some fire over the years of being able to get out of the first round of the playoffs. He's been injured this season. Now, are we looking at Andy Dalton? Are we talking about A.J. McCarron? Are we talking about both of them?
Yeah, A.J. McCarron's not getting cast. So no. I don't think we need to, you know, I know there's a lot of Alabama fans out there. There's no reason to throw him in the mix. Andy Dalton, who it looks like he's coming back this week anyway. The most interesting things about him is like he's this big redhead. He does have an interesting story where they keep making the playoffs and they've never won. You know, people say that Andy Dalton's the best, you know, player to never win a playoff game.
Yeah. So is he like the Francesca of the NFL playoffs?
Well, my comp, I wrote Rob C for my comp. He's the best player to never win.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Andy Dalton's not the me.
Well, you're the Andy Dalton.
I'm the Andy Dalton?
No, okay, but I'm making a joke because this is a playoff game. This would be like someone to never make the merge. So I hear what you're saying with Francesca. I didn't love his war awards with J.J. Watt. You know, that wasn't a great sign for, you know, having some confessionals. But okay. He's an interesting guy. He's on a relevant team. Definitely an interesting look, like Fitzpatrick. I'm going to put him in the maybe pile.
Maybe pile. Okay. And I'm your official comp for Andy Dalton?
Yeah, you're the official comp for Andy Dalton. Okay. Because if you wanted to say the best player to never win a Super Bowl, the NFL's in a weird position where most of the good quarterbacks have won a Super Bowl. Like, if you ask me now who's the best QB to never win a Super Bowl, it's Tony Romo. And other than that, there's really no, we're talking Cam Newton, who's, you know, had one good year, but, you know, one really good year, basically. Like, so if you want to be the Tony Romo, Rob, you could be the Tony Romo.
Okay.
I have a different comp for Tony Romo.
All right. And I do think that it is unusual to find survivor men with red hair. I think that Cochran might be the only survivor ginger out there.
Yeah. What color did Tyler have? I never really pay attention to these things.
I don't think it was red.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's not something I would ever notice, but I don't even know what color hair I have, honestly, or you used to have. But I think, Dalton.
You could argue Ralph Kaiser.
Yeah. Dalton and Fitzpatrick are, you know, they may be fighting for that last spot there.
Okay, they're in the maybe pile. All right, let's keep going in the AFC North. Big Ben Roethlisberger of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
He's won two Super Bowls. To me, if you've won a Super Bowl, you're probably going to get on this cast. I feel like He'll make good television. He's like this big, he's not really built like a quarterback. He's like this big, interesting looking dude. I think, you know, a lot of viewers will not like him. We need a heel. Not all, you know, there aren't a lot of heel contenders here. And to me, he could be the villain of the whole season. I think he's a lock.
He is a absolute lock. Get Big Ben out there. And who is his survivor comp?
You know, for me, Big Ben's survivor comp is Ted Rogers Jr.
Ted Rogers? Oh, why? Is this? No, Akiva. No,
Bill LeBron. Wait, hold on. They both love motorcycles. Ted Rogers Jr., Google it, runs some motorcycle club. And if you remember, like 7 years ago, Ben Roethlisberger, I don't know why you thought this is obviously the reason why it was a comp. Ben Roethlisberger.
I'm 150 to 200% sure that's not what you're saying.
But Rob, listen to me. Google right now. I'm not making any of this up. Ben Roethlisberger was in a terrible motorcycle
accident. I remember.
And yeah. Ted Rogers loves motorcycles. Listen, not everyone has a perfect comp. You know, you gotta stretch a little. To me, that's what they have in common.
See, what I love about this AFC-NFC format, though, is that there's going to be so much infighting. Like, will Big Ben and Brady be able to coexist in one tribe? Like, who is going to be the quarterback? Who is the leader of this tribe? Is Big Ben going to take a back seat to Brady in this tribe?
Right. The AFC quarterbacks and the NFC quarterbacks are more likely to hate each other and have, you know, be sort of neutral towards the other conference. So
right.
You could get some pre-merge drama here. Whereas, like, you know, if we're casting a real season, they're saying like, oh, let's keep Spencer and Cass apart at first because, you know, we don't want one to boot the other person in week one or week two.
Yeah.
Whereas here we're getting right to the blood.
Okay. Big Ben, we don't need to talk about it anymore. He's on the list. All right. What about Joe Flacco or the Ravens?
You know, Flacco, he has like a decent sense of humor. He's won a Super Bowl. You know, he certainly just based on this season where he was hurt and the team had a disastrous season, you wouldn't necessarily cast him. But I feel like if you've won a Super Bowl, you should be on that. You should be there. And really, the argument with Flacco is always the same, which is Flacco, you know, an elite?
Is he elite?
Is Joe Flacco a elite quarterback? They always say. So to me, I feel like we need to find out if he's an elite survivor player.
To me, though, I just feel like that he doesn't have enough to really hook into in terms of storytelling in this season. I mean, I feel like he's more of a maybe than a no doubter.
Okay, so I thought that at first, but I think the Ravens and Steelers hate each other more than any other team.
Good rivalry.
So to me, you have Flacco and Roethlisberger going at each other. And as Cass, you know, I don't want to accuse, you know, the producers of favoring certain people, but if you have Brady out there and you don't want him to be booted week one, if you manufacture a Flacco versus Roethlisberger rivalry, then Brady could skate through for a while.
I feel like there's no love between Flacco and Brady.
Yeah, but the enemy of your enemy is your friend or something like that.
Okay. All right. We'll keep it going. So Flacco is on the definite list. And who is his survivor comparison?
I mean, there's really not a great one. If you wanted to say like they've won, but we're still not sure if they're good, I'd say Natalie White, maybe.
He's Natalie White.
Yeah, he's Natalie. Well, I like the cross-racial or cross-gender comparisons.
So are the 49ers the Russell Hants that they went to the end with?
Yeah, I do think.
Colin Kaepernick, I think, could be a little bit of a Russell Hants.
Jim Harbaugh has got a lot of Hants in him. I saw that tweet the other day.
From Russell or from Jim Harbaugh?
Both. Sometimes they're very similar.
Okay, so then sticking in the AFC North, I think we have one of the most intriguing test cases here for us in the AFC with the Cleveland Browns quarterback situation. And no, I'm not talking about Austin Davis.
To me, this is a super lock. He's up there with the Bradys and the Mannings.
Yeah, and this is probably the guy in Johnny Manziel who has the least amount of playing time, but is the biggest lock to play.
He's going to be in all the commercials beforehand. You know, you're going to be pumping it up. People are going to tune in who've never seen Survivor before. Just, with Brady, it's like you like Brady, you hate him, but you don't care what he says. With Manziel, you'd believe anything Manziel did. Like, there's a story that he left the team this week and dressed up as a guy named Billy, wore a blonde wig and went to Vegas while he had a concussion. Like, he could, you know, who knows what he could do on Survivor? Like,
could he blame that on the concussion? I didn't even know what I was doing.
He could blame it. I think he's not going to show up to a challenge also. He's going to be the first person ever that just misses a few challenges, maybe a tribal also.
Okay, Johnny Football is definitely in. Who is the survivor comparison?
You know, it's actually like a positive sign for a survivor that there aren't a lot of great men. Like, I'm thinking, like, who's a guy who has a lot of, you know, sort of problems with maybe with drinking, maybe with, you know, relationships with the opposite gender. I didn't think of anything like that. But to me, so I don't want to go that sort of route. But to me, his best comp is probably Brandon Hance.
Brandon Hance. Wow. Yes. I was going to say Rodney.
You better relax, bro.
Oh, no. Rod, come on. Rodney's not going to come on the Hot podcast Rod? Again after you said that. Hot Rod has got his act together. He's a goofball. Johnny Manziel, like, he could end up on the moon tomorrow. Like, I don't know what he's doing. I mean, maybe a pre-boring Johnny Fairplay, like, you know, with Johnny Fairplay in, like, you know, when he comes back, you know, between season 7 and season 16, around there. Maybe he had a little. He was a little fair play-ish Manziel.
But okay,
there's no perfect comp for him.
But I feel like that the Brandon Hance that you're talking about is one that is like it doesn't even have his head in the game. I mean, is Johnny Manziel good at football?
No, Johnny Manziel is never. In my opinion, he never takes another snap in the NFL again.
Okay, wow, interesting, hot take.
I don't think he can handle another offseason. Like, I who knows what's going to happen? Like, he's going to get kicked out of the league or suspended. Like, I don't know if he's good enough even. Like, I don't know if anyone's going to sign him. So,
okay,
he might be done.
For Johnny Manziel, though, Survivor could be the perfect elixir for him because it is nowhere to go. There's no bars. There's no drinking. He's got nothing else to do. There's no distraction except play the game.
Right. But if he's the first boot and he's got, you know, a few days to himself at Ponderosa. Listen, let me assure you of something. He's getting the Samson treatment. They're sending him home.
Yeah.
They don't want to deal with him. They don't even care. Post pictures on Facebook that you went home. We don't care.
All right. So far, our locks are Brady, Roethlisberger, Flacco, and Manziel. Let's go to the AFC South. Let's start in Indy with Andrew Luck.
You know, Luck, he had a disastrous season, but he's, you know, he's a big name player. He's got a really funny voice, which I don't know if that's great for television, but it's pretty funny. I do think there will definitely be some tension. Every through line in this season will lead back to Peyton Manning. And to me, it you know, you could hear Jeff like, so, you know, Peyton, Andrew replaced you in Indy. And now he is, you know, he's the new you. They cut you to get him. Mm-hmm. So we're looking to, you know, for this season as like almost through Peyton Manning's eyes. We're like, who, you know, who has sort of interacted with him? And to me, he's got to be their Luck.
I'm sold. Who is the Survivor comparable?
I'm trying to think of someone who has a really goofy voice, because that's the most interesting thing about him. Who would you say?
Who's the Survivor that has a goofy voice? Could he be like a Mike Holloway?
He does have the Mike Holloway voice where it's like weird. You don't even think it's coming out of that guy's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad, but I don't know if he'll end up like Mike Holloway and win.
Yeah. Well, when he's healthy, the guy can play.
Yeah. I mean, I said Tony Romo's the best QB who's never won, but, you know, could be Luck if he gets back on his game.
Okay, so now the rest of the AFC South is probably a more interesting case. Why don't we start with the young lad, Marcus Mariota of the Tennessee Titans?
I mean, to me, it's tough to say no to Mariota, but I think he seems like a pretty down-to-earth, normal guy. I don't know if he's going to be great television. I don't think he's got a chance to win, as a rookie who's going to get picked on. And he's not really, you know, he was on the worst team in the NFL this year, so... I don't even have him as a maybe. I know Johnny DeSilvera will be crushed here, but to me, he's a no.
Okay. Do you have a Survivor comparison for Mariota?
No, if you go in the no pile, you don't get a comparison.
You don't even get one. All right. What about Blake Bortles? Is he in the mix?
No, he's a no.
The Jaguars? No.
Nope.
Okay. Now, which quarterback do you want to go with for the Texans? Who is the starting quarterback of the Texans?
I mean, Brian Hoyer, has got a nice shiny bald head. I don't know, I don't know if any of these guys make the top 50. If we casted 50 quarterbacks this season, I truly don't think I'm not even joking, we would not have a Texan on the list. Like, none of these guys are interesting.
Okay. All right. Let's go out to the AFC West. Now, you said that this is almost the entire season we're casting it about Peyton Manning. Manning is a no-doubter here?
Yeah, Manning's a no-doubter. Yeah, you're not, you know, you're doing this season... The promos are you know, Brady and Manning like meeting for the first time, and then Johnny Manziel doing something wacky in the background. Like, Manning's on the cover of the DVD.
All right. So then who is the survivor comparison for Manning?
So with Peyton and Eli, like, it's very easy to say, like, ooh, Aris and Vetus, but that's not an exact comparison.
No.
You know, there's no, it's funny to say brothers, but there's no, you know, then I don't even know who the Vetus is there. Like, is Peyton the Vetus because he's only won once? And like, you know, you could say like Vetus was the worst this year on Survivor and Peyton was probably the worst quarterback in the NFL this season. So maybe that works better than I thought. But I have a decent one for Peyton Manning that I think you'll like.
Who is it?
Great at the beginning, great in the middle, terrible at the end. Peyton is Amanda Kimmel.
Amanda Kimmel. Boy. I could see it. Peyton Manning did eventually get a Super Bowl.
He did. And listen, if Amanda played 20 times like Peyton Manning's played, I'm sure she'd win one also, but you know.
All right. So let's put Peyton Manning out there. That would bring us up to six people from the AFC that are in the mix.
I also want to say, and it's always good to chime with a joke 30 seconds later. If Amanda Kimmel just went up against Rex Grossman in Survivor finale, she probably would have won a season. Peyton Manning's Super Bowl.
Sexy Rexy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So then in AFC West, it seems like there's another person that seems like a very strong contender from the San Diego Los Angeles Chargers. Phil Rivers has got to make the cut, right?
Could be St. Louis Chargers next year. Who knows?
I guess so.
Yeah, Philip Rivers is a lock. He has eight children, which is going to, you know, if you got sick of hearing Jeremy talk about like two or three kids, wait till you get a load of Philip Rivers. I mean, he almost has to win. How do you vote this guy out? He's got to pay these bills. So, yeah, Rivers is a lock.
He's a hothead. He's trying to fight people. He is got bad blood with Brady, with Manning. I think that we have to have Phil Rivers in this season.
Yeah, I mean, he could come home. He'll be like, I don't even know where I'm going to live when I come home. I don't know where I'm going to work. Like, my whole life is in flux here.
Right. When his family visit comes, that basically either his wife or whoever has to tell him what happened to the Chargers. Like, he doesn't even know.
Right. And then the whisper, like, I'm pregnant with three more.
All right. So Phil Rivers is making the cast of Survivor quarterbacks. So who is the Survivor comparison for Phil Rivers?
Whoever has the most kids. I was thinking like
Mike Scoopin, I think maybe.
Scoopin has a lot of kids. There's really nobody who has like eight kids. I mean, Kim Spradlin, give her a couple more years. Boston Rob, maybe.
He only has four. Kim has three.
Okay. So I don't know who. I feel like Lisa Welchel talked about her kids a lot. I don't know how many she has, though.
I don't think she has more than three. I'd be surprised.
All right. What about Rob C? Give him a couple more years. He can have like six.
No. I think go with Scoopin.
Okay. He's Scooping.
All right. So that leaves us with seven. Now there's a couple more teams in the AFC West to talk about. What about Alex Smith? Is he potentially in the mix here with the Chiefs?
In wrestling, they have this thing called, I think it's called a white meat baby face, which means like you have no gimmick and the only thing is that you're a good guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
That, like you're just they exist as air to like go against a more interesting bad guy. To me, that's Alex Smith. There's nothing interesting about him. You know, he hasn't, you know, really said anything interesting in you know, double digit years in the league. So I to me, he's in the no pile. There's just so many better quarterbacks.
All right. And what about the last team in the AFC we haven't talked about from the Oakland, Los Angeles Raiders? Derek Carr.
Yeah, Derek Carr.
Car curse.
No Carr has ever won. His brother never won a game, basically. Carr, again, in a lesser era, you could put Carr in there. And I think he may be destined for, you know, B-plus things at a certain point, but we have so many people ahead of him that, I'm going to say no to him. But Rob, I do think that maybe we left somebody out in the AFC.
Who you got?
I said that I want everyone to have a tie to Peyton Manning. I don't know how you don't cast Brock Osweiler, who might be starting a playoff game in 2 weeks. He's the biggest quarterback in the league. He's enormous. He's like 6'8".
Yeah.
You know, so he's got an interesting look. Is he going to be in an alliance with Peyton, who, you know, they clearly can't stand each other's presence, where if you saw like when Peyton Manning did something good this week, Osweiler gave the fakest clap I've ever seen in my life, pretending to be excited and really like, you know, crying on the inside. To me, that's such an interesting dynamic to have teammates who don't really like each other that you have to cast Osweiler.
Well, going back to our maybe pile, we have Ryan Fitzpatrick and Andy Dalton. Are either of those people more interesting to have in the mix than Brock Osweiler, who's really only interesting to one other player in the season? Like, there is no connective tissue between Brock Osweiler and any of the other seven quarterbacks on the AFC tribe.
It's a good question. It's like having, it's like what happens if, God forbid, Rupert gets booted in the first episode, and in theory, they bring someone with him who's not great television. This would never happen. I'm just giving an example. And then they're stuck with him, and it's a complete disaster. And they're lucky that that person doesn't make the final three.
Yeah.
So I do think there's a little of that, but I think Osweiler can handle on his own. He's a big guy. He might be interesting. I don't know much about him. I'd love to cast Fitzpatrick and Dalton. My fear is that the NFC might be more interesting than the AFC. So maybe we sort of table this discussion. We have eight guarantees or seven guarantees. Three maybes. We'll put Osweiler in the maybe pile and see what's going on in the NFC, and then we'll cast accordingly.
All right, let's head over to the NFC, and let's start in the NFC East. And do you want to start by talking about the NFC East champion Washington Redskins?
Sure. Yeah,
Kirk Cousins.
Weakest division in NFL history.
Does he make the cut?
I mean, I do think, you know, I'll tell you my Kirk Cousins comparison is Jervis.
Okay.
Because he's, you know, Jervis, can't you see Jervis out there yelling, you like that? You like that? Even though, like, he might not have really done the good thing that his team did.
You like that?
Yeah.
Wow, Rob had that on cue. I mean, that wasn't planned.
Ready to go.
I think, to me, is that the most interesting thing about Kirk Cousins? Yes. Is it the only interesting thing about Kirk Cousins? Yeah, but to me, I don't want to say he's a lock. He's a maybe leaning towards yes, because he is in the playoffs. We want to give a little deference towards the people who, you know, are going to be playing this week. So I'll call him a probably.
Okay. Listed as probable for Kirk Cousins. All right. So let's stick in the NFC East. And what about Eli Manning? Now, again, you said famously that all roads lead to Manning in the AFC. Does having his brother out there on the NFC tribe, does that create more drama for you?
Obviously. I mean, we've never had, you know, a mini blood versus water situation where, you know, you have siblings, you know, who might be on opposite tribes, almost certainly will be on opposite tribes, you know, in the game, and everyone knows it. It's not like there are some undercover agents. And I think, I think they'll handle this better than maybe Liz and Julia did in Big Brother. This could be, it could be a very interesting dynamic. And then there's always the possibility of, like, what if Eli votes Peyton out? Wouldn't that be great?
All right, how about this for the working title of this season? Survivor, Blood versus Quarterback.
Blood versus Quarterback. All right, that's not bad. That's not bad. You can give yourself a bell there.
Okay, so Eli Manning, he's a definite. And so who is the Aris and who is the Vetus here? I feel like Peyton is the Aris. No,
I mean, Eli's more successful ultimately if you're gauging everything by championships. My comp for Eli outside of the Aris Vetus comparison was someone who has great facial gestures, because that's really Eli's biggest strength. And that would be Eliza as his comp.
Oh, I think you're going to say Alec Christie and make Peyton Manning the Drew Christie.
Oh, that's not bad either. The Christie brothers. But let's not, you know, I mean, let the Christie brothers, you know, get to like the final eight or something before we talk them up. I think Eli and Eliza really could have a face off. That would be good.
You can't spell Eliza without Eli.
That's true. And I do think, I mean, she might even be a Giants fan. She's a New Yorker.
Oh, she is. She's a big time Giants fan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's it called? I do think that Eli, if we put him on the jury at a certain point, he'll be making really wonderful faces.
Okay. All right. Eli's in. He's a no doubter. What about in the rest of the NFC East? You mentioned Tony Romo. Got to have Romo, right?
Yeah. You know, it's America's team, you know, by far the most popular team in the NFL, you know, in terms of total number of fans. You can't deprive them of, you know, the, you know, QB1 in Texas. I think Tony Romo's got to make it.
We love Tony Romo. I'm a big Tony Romo fan. I think that he will be great. I think he's somebody who could go far in this game. He's got a great social game. I feel like that everybody's going to like Tony Romo. Do you feel like people hate Tony Romo in the way that they might hate some of these AFC quarterbacks?
I think people might be like, hey, you know, look at you, pretty boy. But I don't think anyone personally dislikes him. He seems like a pretty, down to earth guy. And we know Romo's willing to be on CBS reality television because we've seen him on Big Brother before.
Sure. Sure. And could we call Tony Romo Beast Mode Cowboy?
I mean, we could.
All right. So Tony Romo. Wait,
didn't he meet Beast Mode Cowboy? Yes, is that one of the guys? Oh, okay, fine. Did. Yeah.
So Tony Romo, he's making the cut. Who's the comparable for Tony Romo for you?
I mean, to me, like for this season, Tony Romo's comp is almost like James Clement, where it's like gets hurt, comes back, kind of gets hurt again. And you're like, man, he could really win one if he puts it together. Then, and if you saw, like, you know, Cass likes to say about Spencer that she's the Lucy to Charlie Brown. But in a sense, Romo is like a Spencer. That, like, it always gets pulled up, the rug always gets pulled from it the last second. But if you watch the the first playoff game he ever played 8 years ago, he was also the Lucy and the Charlie Brown in that game. That was a deep cut for a
very deep cut. All right, so then if we're going to finish out the NFC, are we getting involved with anything from the Eagles here?
No, it would be fun to have like Sam Bradford of the Eagles and Nick Foles of the Rams and just like switch tribes as a totally irrelevant tribe switch that doesn't mean anything for the rest of the season to mimic what happened to them this year. But no Bradford.
No Sam Bradford. Okay. Then what about in the NFC North? What are you going to start with the champions? Teddy Bridgewater. Is he making the cut?
To me, he's such like a no-nonsense, like straight guy. He's almost like...
I don't
like
know anything about Teddy Bridgewater.
Nothing. And I have to hear about him from my friend Chester, who's a Vikings fan. For hours a week, I get sent like detailed Excel sheets about why he's the greatest. This week was like, oh, he has the highest passer rating in December in NFL history. And the stats are made up. Watch the guy play. He's not so good. So yeah, he's so boring to me that there's no way we can cast him, even though he's in the playoffs.
Okay. Sorry, Teddy Bridgewater. How's his QBR though?
QBR is nonsense.
Okay, so what about the runners-up in the NFC North? Aaron Rodgers, are we doing the discount double check this season?
I think we have to do it. I do think, and you get, and also like that you get State Farm on board as a major advertiser. Like if he's on the show, I do think they're giving us like four commercials a week.
Yeah, we're getting Hans and Franz, we're getting the Bears, we're getting the Coneheads.
It's funny because like I don't know much about Aaron Rodgers. Like again with the star-studded. You know, a loved one's visit, we could get Olivia Munn, you know, in addition to some other big celebrities. But like, really, that's all I know about him is that he's, you know, maybe, you know, he's dating or married to Olivia Munn. I don't remember which. And that he does a lot of commercials.
Yeah.
But I know you like to me, you're casting him as a big name, but he's not necessarily, you know, he's a little bit Wigglesworth-ish in that he's not necessarily going to be great television.
But he seems like that he's a pretty like congenial guy.
Yeah, he might end up being the tribe leader.
Yeah, he could be. I think he has a chance to go far in this season. Okay, what about Matt Stafford in Detroit?
I mean, I don't even know if he'd leave right now. He's got to stay home and convince Calvin Johnson not to retire.
It's his loved one.
That is his. To me, Stafford, nice guy. Somehow he's only 27, even though he's been in the NFL for 30 years. you know, in a different season, maybe. But to me, Stafford's a no. We're too loaded here.
Wow, a no, not even a maybe?
You're going to see. I mean, the number one pick, the barrier to entry is so high that, you know, to me, I can't, you know, I can't waste this.
Okay.
Spare. I don't have a spare to square.
All right. Why don't we go back to Chicago for some casting gold in Jay Cutler?
Literally everyone who's ever passed Jay Cutler on the street hates him. You know, he's like the most physically gifted guy in the world. And, you know, really hasn't done much with it. The one huge game he's ever played in, he got hurt and he left the game. He's got a celebrity wife. He's got some reality TV chops for sure. He's you know, he's been on the league before, so he's got regular television chops. He's a lock. Jay Cutler's a lock.
Jay Cutler is a lock. Who is the Survivor comparison for Jay Cutler?
I don't really have a great one. I don't know. Like, do you have a good one?
No.
Yeah, I mean, not everyone gets a perfect comparison.
Like John Rocker.
There is a little, I mean, Rocker said some really bad stuff.
Right.
But, I don't want to say that, but he just rubs everyone the wrong way. So that's not a bad comparison there.
Yeah, I'm not implying that Jay Cutler has any of the same beliefs that John Rocker might have.
Oh, he's got some weird beliefs, but we might get to that later.
Okay, then let's go to the NFC South. Cam Newton, big star. Is he making the cut?
Oh, no question. Cam Newton... the league MVP this year, that, you know, becoming a big star, a ton of commercials. There's no way you can leave Cam Newton at home. He's got a big personality. He's going to be celebrating for 50 minutes after every challenge. You know, Jeff's going to be like, all right, you know, we got to get back to camp here. He's an interesting dude. You got to have Cam Newton.
Yeah. Are we playing the season in Cambodia?
You could delete that one.
Cam Newton, do you have a Survivor comparison for him?
I mean, he's a little Jervis-y in that, like, he's on the sidelines yelling about everything they did. I'm trying, like, who's the best trash talker in Survivor history?
So then also in the NFC South, we have Drew Brees, who has a big cap number, might not be in New Orleans next year, but here he is. Is he on the NFC tribe?
Super Bowl winner, a big star, fan favorite. To me, you gotta have Brees.
Yeah, gotta have him. I think Drew Brees is out there. And again, a shot. We've got so many nice guys in the NFC.
Yeah, it's almost like, do you want to go heroes, villains, and the NFC? But what about Cutler? I feel like Cutler is the biggest jerk here, and he's...
Right. He's like the one guy on that tribe who seems like he could get on everybody's nerves. We're in the AFC. It's so contentious. We're in the NFC. Everybody just like wants to be nice and friends. It's like the love tribe.
Yeah, it could end up being like that, where the tribes really take on different personalities. But, I don't know. We'll see how we cast them.
I like it. Okay. So Drew Brees is there. That gives us six in the NFC. What about Matty Ice?
Wait, give me a Brees comp question. I got to go.
And who is your Drew Brees comparison?
To me, Drew Brees' comp is Russell Hantz, because they both get way too much credit for things that happened in Hurricane Katrina.
Come on. Who's your real Drew Brees comparison?
Listen, that's what I had written down. I don't know. Is there a good New Orleans survivor?
No. What about like a Hayden Moss?
He is like a little bit. There is a little bit of Hayden in him.
I feel like they have the same hair.
Hayden's a two. Oh yeah, that's not. Hayden's got a really good set of hair. I think Hayden is a two sport star though. Like, was Drew Brees, you know, his old buddy Jimmy Graham? That's like a famous guy who's, you know, good at two sports. Like, was Drew Brees a baseball star also?
I don't think so. I don't think so. But we'd have to go back and take a look at the research on that one. But okay, so Drew Brees, he's making the cut. All right, what about Matty Ice down in Atlanta?
This is a huge upset because, just a year or two ago, Matt Ryan is probably one of the first people we pick for the NFC. But his team is so irrelevant. He's really boring as a person. You know, he's also been on Hard Knocks and really, you know, been a snoozer.
Yeah.
So I know it's crazy, but we're really going to be making some very tough cuts at the end here, especially if we're doing 16. So I just can't spare a spot for Matt Ryan.
Yeah. Sorry, Matty Ice. You're with the Alex Smiths of the world.
Yeah.
All right. Then also in the NFC South, what about Jameis Winston? We didn't get Mariota in there, but does Jameis Winston get into this season?
He had such a shockingly quiet season from, you know, on field. His team wasn't good. He played, you know, probably a little better than many people expected, but he didn't get into any trouble off the field, unlike in college when he was seemingly getting in trouble daily, which is good. He's almost like the, you know, the Johnny Manziel turned good. I think you have to cast Jameis here. He's an interesting guy. People are still curious what he's got in store. I think young star, we got to go with Jameis.
I feel like he's more of a maybe, but I like the diversity casting. We need to mix it up a little bit.
I agree. Either for whatever reason, there aren't a ton of African-American starting QBs right now, and we've already nixed Teddy B. I do think, you know, I don't think we selected a single one in the AFC, so there's only Cam Newton in the NFC. We don't have to actually be like Survivor. We can cast. So Winston is we're running up against, you know, if we're saying yes to Winston and we're saying probably to Cousins, we've already got eight and we haven't hit the NFC West yet. So let's see what we got there. And then we may have to make a very tough decision or two here.
All right. Well, let's go to the NFC West. And I guess we have to start there with Russell Wilson. Definitely on, right?
Yeah, no question. He's got Ciara coming for the family visit. A big star, you know, could win a second Super Bowl, could play in a third Super Bowl this year. You got to cast Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Plus, he's got a lot of interesting character stuff. Now, what's Russell Wilson doing? He's a virgin or he's just celibate?
Yeah, I was wondering that myself, but I didn't bother Googling it because I have like it doesn't sound like it here, but I have the tiniest shred of self-respect. I didn't Google if he's a virgin, but I had the same thought crossed my mind like an hour.
But he's got like a Matt Elrod thing a little bit.
A little bit.
Tebow would be the ultimate Matt Elrod.
It would be great if we could cast Tebow, but somehow, even though 40 different quarterbacks got signed to the Indianapolis Colts this week, nobody picked up Tim Tebow for the last week of the season.
Yeah, but Russell Wilson has to be on.
Yeah, he's a lock.
Okay, now who is the survivor comparison for Russell Wilson?
To me, it's Cochran, because they've won Whoa. Once, and people think that they might still be a virgin.
Stop. Look, Cochran is very successful in many fields at this point.
All right, listen, a couple years ago when he won, who knows what was happening? But yeah, no, Russell Wilson, also very smart. Russell Wilson might be the smartest guy here, and Cochran might be one of the smartest mm-hmm. guys to ever win.
Okay, so Russell Wilson, now he's a definite, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that gives us now 8 definites. Let's just talk through the rest of the NFC West. Okay, we said no to Nick Foles, right?
Yeah, no way Nick Foles.
Kaepernick is done.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jeff would ask him about being adopted like 8 different times, but you know, and then you could even like spring the adopted parents on him at the family visit, but that's cruel. No, I think
Dan Foley would say that's the same as getting abused by Will Sims, right?
Yeah, exactly. I do think in a different season maybe, but Kaepernick, you know, he quit on his football team. How could we trust him not to quit day one of Survivor?
Okay, and then what about Carson Palmer, who is back with a resurgent year?
Now, our problem is, if we say yes to Carson Palmer, like, now he's the last name we're going to talk about. So we're considering 20 people. Do we go with 20 people? I mean, that's just too fat of a cast. I feel like we have to make some cuts, no?
We're an hour into this. we can't go with a 20-person cast now. We got to start making up time somewhere.
Okay, so to me, even though he is very relevant and he's the quarterback of the team that I think is going to win the Super Bowl, that I predicted to make the Super Bowl for the season, I won't tell you who I predicted to win it. But I think, he's not such an interesting guy, and I'm not going to cast, I'll tell you who his comp is though. He's a little bit like Kelly Wentworth, and it's like, you thought the career was over. You're like, okay, that, you know, it was nice. We saw it. And then he comes back and he's the, almost the MVP all of a sudden.
Wow. Okay.
Not on Survivor though. I think no Palmer. And then we got to make one more cut on the NFC side and 2 more cuts on the AFC side.
Okay, so, I mean, I think the cut has to be Cousins, right? So if the names we talked about were Cousins, Manning, Romo, Rodgers, Cutler, Cam, Drew Brees, Jameis, Russell Wilson, I feel like it's probably either Jameis or Cousins.
Yeah, I want to give, Jameis is a young guy. I feel like he's better television than, I mean, Cousins is good. This is really tough.
Controversy follows Jameis. I don't think that Cousins has too much going on except for his catchphrase. It'd be good for a t-shirt.
You like that?
But other than that, he doesn't have a lot going on.
I thought you were going to play Jameis Winston's catchphrase and we're going to get kicked off podcast
No.
I thought that would be the last Rob is a podcast ever. I think, let me throw a crazy curveball at you, Rob.
Okay.
Cousins is so relevant because he's in the playoffs this week. I want to have as many playoff QBs as we possibly can without going to like the Brian Hoyers of the world. And Jameis is like, he's now, you know, what if we cut Drew Brees?
What's his December QBR?
Jameis?
Yeah.
Well, are we really going by QBR? No. what if we cut Drew Brees? I know it's like, you know, Brees is this, you know, superstar QB, but He's on the tail end of his career. He's slipping a little bit. He's not the most interesting guy in the world. He's pretty vanilla. What can we cut Breeze?
From a casting perspective, I mean, I think he's a big draw, but from a TV perspective, you know, this NFC is a little bit too love tribe.
Yeah, he's a draw, but you know, it's a small market, New Orleans. It's a tiny market. There's so many big names here that nothing could happen where we won't still have a big name late. I don't think we have to worry about Breeze bringing in the eyeballs. I think we could get rid of Breeze unless you're really against it.
All right, I think I'm going to get some angry emails about this, but let's go ahead and do it. Sorry, Anne-Marie Fisher.
Listen, if you want your team's quarterback to get cast, tell them to make the playoffs next year, and he'll get cast.
All right, so Breeze is out, and Cousins and Jameis are in.
Cousins in the playoffs. Jameis is TV gold. I think it's a good decision.
You like that?
Wow.
That sound is loud. I think we may have to make Cousins the first boot.
Okay. So Breeze is out, and here is our NFC tribe: Manning, Romo, Rodgers, Cutler, Cam, Jameis, Russell Wilson, Cousins.
Yeah, that's a solid tribe.
Okay. And then going back to the AFC, we have to revisit this Osweiler question of Brady, Roethlisberger, Flacco, Manziel, Luck, Peyton Manning, Phil Rivers, and Osweiler officially over Andy Dalton, Fitzy.
Are you okay with Dalton and Fitz not making it? I mean, Dalton's in the playoffs, but he's not an interesting guy.
Right. And if we're going to penalize people who didn't make the playoffs, then Fitzpatrick should suffer.
Too soon. But yeah, I agree.
He should be. Somebody needs to pay for what went on in Orchard Park. And so you sit this one out, Fitzpatrick. Go start going over that playbook a few more times this offseason. And so, all right. So we will cast Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, big upset. But I think from a casting perspective, sometimes, you know, you think, why is that person out there? And then you realize like, oh, you know, they know what they're doing.
Akiva, now let's start to figure out who is going to win the Survivor blood versus quarterback season. And I think that the easiest way to do this, to sort of do this simulation, is to find another Survivor season, which is like this with two tribes of eight, and then sort of go through all of the challenges that took place in that season, just so we have a very quick resource to be able to see how the challenges would play out. Now, the most recent season that was this format of 16 players and two tribes of eight was Survivor Token Cheens. Are you okay with running Survivor Blood versus Quarterback through that filter?
I definitely am. My only concern was that there's a family visit, which of course there is in Survivor Token Cheens. So why not go for that one?
Okay. All right. So here we go. And, you know, we're not going to spend a lot of time on reward challenges because that doesn't really do anything, but we will go through and we'll tell you the challenges. I have a coin to flip. And unless we say like, oh, that challenge was definitely going to be won by the NFC or the AFC. And then we'll sort of try to figure out what's going on. Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. So our two tribes are going to get to the beach. Are we going to do the thing where they vote somebody out first and then just like in Token Cheens, are we going to bother with that?
We could do that. That's not a bad idea.
Okay.
So, by the way, that's a good example. I forgot about that, but that's a good example of like someone celebrating, you know, and, you know, trash talking. But then they had no reason to trash talk. We were talking about Cam Newton before, right? When Jeff scolds her for trash talking.
Yes. Okay. So, all right. So the two tribes get to, are we playing this in the Token Cheens?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Brazilian Highlands.
The Brazilian Highlands. All right. So the team AFC, they have to vote somebody. If they think they're voting somebody out first, who do you think that they're going to vote off on first glance?
I mean, I think they all look around and they probably say, ooh, now's our chance to take a crack at, you know, either Brady or Manning.
Right. Now, I believe in Survivor Token Cheens, they were asked to who's their weakest.
Ah, okay. So if you're saying who's the weakest, then I think the AFC probably says Manziel, who's much smaller than any of these other guys.
Okay. I like that. So Johnny Football in the crosshairs to start. What about in the NFC if they were asked to pick who's the person who's the weakest?
I think, I mean, you look at which of these guys doesn't run, and there's one person here that's far less mobile than anybody else, and that's Eli.
Eli. Wow. So the NFC quarterbacks all gang up and say Eli is the weakest.
I don't know if they're looking out for him week one to in the first tribal to get rid of him. But in terms of like who's physically the weakest, it could be Eli here. It could be Cousins, but let's say Eli.
All right. So what's going to ultimately happen is that both Johnny Football and Eli are going to get a helicopter ride back to the camp. The other quarterbacks have to make a trek. But when they get back to the camp, Johnny Football and Eli will be presented with an opportunity that they have a chance to either start building the shelter or start looking for the idol.
Yeah, and I think we know which both these guys, what, you know, this both these guys will do. I think it's pretty clear.
All right, so Money Manziel, he is definitely going to look for that idol, right?
No question.
Okay, does he find it?
Definitely not.
Definitely not. And Eli, he just goes to work on the shelter, right?
He's going to work. He's blue collar. He shows up 5 minutes early.
Yeah. Now, are we doing Exile Island in this season?
I don't think we need to.
I don't think we need to. Could be fun. Maybe one round down the stretch. We'll see. Okay. So then we go to our camp life setup. How do you see this tribe sort of setting up, just sort of the big picture? We talked about the Brady rivalries with Roethlisberger, with Manning, Manning and his understudy there. I mean, how do you see the tribe dynamics really taking hold in the AFC tribe?
I mean, there's so much tension between Peyton Manning and Brock Osweiler that I think Brady, a master of manipulation, can really get in there and say, Peyton, like, I know people expect us to be rivals, but what if we team up? Then we'll be unstoppable. And I think maybe from there, they say, listen, Roethlisberger and Flacco hate each other. You hate Osweiler. Everyone hates Philip Rivers. Andrew Luck is just a goofball, and Manziel doesn't even know we're playing Survivor. So I think if Brady and Manning form like the super power couple at first, you know, and people take the lead from there.
You know, Tom Brady did come out this week with some comments to support Peyton Manning during this ongoing HGH investigation.
Yeah, and Manning, if you remember, didn't say anything about Brady and the deflated balls.
Yeah, so I do like this idea that they basically feel like, hey, you're my meat shield. If they get rid of you, Manning, I'm next to go. So I like this idea that Brady and Manning have to have each other's back.
Yeah, they both think that they're like the, you know, Joe or a Jeremy type where, you want to align with another very strong man.
So then who is putting together this counter alliance, and is anybody else going to work with Manning and Brady?
Yeah, I think Manning and Brady, like Manning and Luck, have this weird like understanding of like living in Indianapolis, which is boring. And I think I'm really, really alienating a lot of your fan base here. And I think so that they go with that. And now they have their choice between Flacco and Roethlisberger. Like they literally can, you know, basically it comes down to Flacco versus Roethlisberger. So I think maybe they respect Ben more because he's won two Super Bowls versus one, and they you know, bring Ben into their alliance.
So Roethlisberger is also with Manning and Brady?
I mean, listen, some of these guys are going to flip at the drop of a hat once we get to the merge. But
see, I would believe it more if you said that Luck really just wants to be running with the big dogs. Sort of like, you know, Coach wants to be accepted by Boston Rob in Heroes versus Villains. I would accept that more than Roethlisberger, who has no love for these guys. I think Roethlisberger wants to knock these guys out.
It's a fair point. I mean, it's very possible these guys just say, listen, Manziel's first boot, Rivers is the second boot. We don't even need to, you know, discuss it for another week.
That's possible. So you don't think that there is a big fracture in this tribe yet?
I think that no one trusts anybody else here. And plus, people are very wary of Peyton Reed, getting Eli back on board when there's a merge or a swap, which we know there's not a swap, but they don't know. And the thing is that Peyton's assured him, like, no, Eli's going to come with us. Eli's with us.
Yeah, Eli's going with us.
Eli's saying the same thing back at NFC camp.
Eli's saying, like, I think maybe, I guess, you know, my brother's on the other tribe. He's really not scheming too much, Eli.
I don't think so.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about what's going on logistically over at the NFC tribe. We said it was a bit of a love tribe, but that was when Drew Brees was still in the mix. How's this chemistry experiment all coming together?
I mean, there aren't as many obvious, you know, reasons for hatred. There's fewer like direct connections here. I think maybe Aaron Rodgers is a little jealous that Cam Newton is the new kid on the block and, you know, and is sort of taken over his reign as, one of the top QBs in the league. You have like relatively mild mannered guys like Eli and Romo. I think Jameis is probably being quiet here at first. So it's a very hard to peg tribe.
Do you feel like, is there any bad blood between Cutler and Rodgers?
Oh yeah. Cutler and Rodgers have a little bit of the same thing that Roethlisberger and Flacco have. And it's the two teams in the NFC that probably dislike each other the most. So it made, yeah, the tribal sort of loyalties may stem from where you are in the Rodgers Cutler thing. But I feel like everyone respects Rodgers, and Cutler, they don't respect as much. So or like him at all. So I do think that it's a Rodgers-Cutler thing, and most people end up signing with Rodgers here.
All right, let's go to our first immunity challenge. And of course, the AFC and NFC are going to square off in a tribe called A River Run Through It. According to Survivor Wikia, this challenge consists of six members of each tribe racing across a series of sand hills into a river to retrieve, not Philip Rivers, to retrieve a raft with puzzle planks attached to it. And then when all six members of the tribe return to the shore with the raft, the puzzle planks could be untied and taken back to the start line, where the two remaining tribe members would put the planks into a staircase. And once everybody's on top of the staircase, then you have to navigate a peg through a table maze.
Epic challenge.
Epic challenge here for the AFC versus the NFC. I have in my hand a U.S. 25-cent piece, a quarter, appropriately for our quarterback season.
Yeah, and what does it say?
All right, well, this is a little bit of a contentious thing. All right, I have heads and I have tails on the coin. Heads is AFC, tails is NFC. The tribe that has immunity in this challenge is... NFC wins immunity!
Wow, shocker.
Yes. Wow, so the NFC tribe, they are safe from the vote here on day three, and the AFC tribe is going to the first tribal council of Survivor Blood versus Quarterback. What do you think happens here? Do we have this big divide, or does AFC make it really easy? They already felt like Johnny Manziel was the weakest. He's maybe not cooperating. I don't know how he did in the challenge today.
Yeah, I do think that, you know, the edit makes you think that we're getting the big face-off right away, you know, between Brady Manning or between Big Ben and Flacco. But I do think, you know, on the side, everyone gets together and it's like, Manziel hasn't built a thing, you know, the entire time we've been here. He's sleeping on the beach. We're all in the shelter here. He's not really a team player. He's the smallest guy by about 5 inches on this tribe. So let's just get rid of Johnny Football.
All right. So you think it's a 7-1 vote? Everybody is going to vote out Manziel here?
Yeah, it's a little fair play-ish season 16. Not with the quit, but just like it's pretty easy. You know, it's almost hard for the editors to have a decoy boot here.
It's almost like a Carolina boot here in Survivor Token Sheets.
People have frequently compared those two people, Carolina and...
Who does Manziel vote for?
Oh, that's a good question. They told Manziel that everyone's voting for Brady.
Votes for Brady. All right. Off to John DeRosa for Manziel.
Oh, boy.
All right. Second episode. Good first episode of Survivor Blood versus Quarterback.
Yeah, I think Probst says in the, to Dalton Ross before that it's the best episode, best premiere in the history of the show. And people are like, it's the fifth best. Probst exaggerated and they're annoyed at him.
Okay. So here we go. And so I forgot I wanted to say that I thought that Gary Hogaboom should be somewhere in this season.
Well, people are going to have two complaints in the comments. One, that we didn't mention Gary Hogaboom.
Yeah.
You know, or that it's an all male season, that we didn't cast Julie the Icebox, whatever her name was, from the Little Giants, or some female quarterback. I don't know. By the way, what about Michaela, the lingerie football quarterback? We forgot that
one. Yeah.
And also people are going to be really annoyed that we didn't talk about Michael Vick at all, who's still in the NFL.
Yeah. What about Jimmy Johnson also?
He's a coach. He could make the coaches season. But people are like, hey, how come you didn't make a Michael Vick, Brian Heidick comparison? I'll be like, I just did.
I was trying to think of some way where there should be captains and maybe Gary Hogaboom should be one of the captains. But none of these people are even going to know who Gary Hogaboom is.
Yeah, I don't even know if Jameis was alive during that season.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. It is now second episode. And so... As we saw in Survivor Token Sheens, again, the conditions are starting to take their toll on these tribes. Do you want to go right to the immunity? Or you want to talk a little bit more about the developing tribe dynamics?
I mean, I think we could go to immunity here because, you know, people are really anxious to see what happens if and when the NFC has to go to tribal.
Here we go in the second episode. This is going to be a joint challenge, and it's a good one. Basket Brawl, which they did most recently in Survivor Cam Newton Bodia, because it is where the tribes have that ball where they have to then basically it's like full contact basketball. Does this favor either of the two tribes in your mind?
I'm trying to think, is there a basketball star? I think Russell Wilson played basketball possibly. No, he played baseball.
Brock Osweiler.
Brock Osweiler. Yeah. Oh, he could just dunk it. You know, that's like 15-foot hoop. But there's no Steven where it's clearly the first time they played basketball since middle school.
That's not like the Eli.
Yeah. I mean, Eli, it's possible. I can't imagine Eli being great at pick up hoops. I think the athletes are on the NFC side here for sure.
All right. Let's see who wins immunity. Okay. I'm going to flip the coin and it is immunity goes to Team NFC again. Oh, wow. The AFC tribe is reeling at this point. And now here's where things get interesting. You know, we haven't talked about where Philip Rivers is in all of this. This is a 7-person vote here between Brady, Roethlisberger, Flacco, Luck, Manning, Rivers, and Osweiler. I think people probably might be a little disappointed with Brock Osweiler. He's their tall guy, kind of let the team down in the basketball.
Yeah, you know, you're always looking for any reason to vote somebody out at this point in the game, especially when you're going to 2 straight tribals. And, you know, on this tribe that's looking a little jalapow-y that we have, you know, who knows? We could be going to every tribal. The thing is, does even if you're punishing him for struggling during the challenge, does booting Brock Osweiler make your tribe stronger?
I don't know. Now, does the Manning Brady Luck thing, are you buying that? Does that hold here? Because if it does, they only need one more person. They've got the numbers.
Yeah, I do think Manning Brady Luck with either the Raven or the Steeler, with either Ben or Flacco, is the dominant alliance on this tribe now.
Okay.
So they really have a choice between either of the other AFC West quarterbacks, the Rivers or the Osweiler here.
I feel like that Flacco would be the guy who would get picked up. I feel like he's got a ring. Roethlisberger has a ring also, but I feel like that there's too much bad blood between Brady and Roethlisberger.
It's a good point.
So if that's the case, is Big Ben the vote here?
Oh, man. I mean, that's the type of thing where some producers get in your ear like, I'm going to give him two immunity idols. Don't even talk about Big Ben. Let's talk about voting out Philip Rivers. What do you think? He may be the decoy boot. Maybe they say, I think Rivers found an idol, so we can't vote at Rivers. So should we go with Osweiler or should we go with Roethlisberger?
But here's the thing. If Manning and Brady and Luck want Flacco to vote with them, I kind of feel like they're going to say to Flacco, who do you want to vote off? And Flacco is going to say Roethlisberger.
It's a good point. I don't think John Harbaugh will let him back in the team facility if he lets Roethlisberger stay another week.
Kind of the selling point for Flacco to go with and vote with these guys is that they're going to go after Big Ben. I feel like Big Ben's the second person voted out of Survivor Blood versus quarterback.
Oh, man, this is a big scalp, though, Big Ben. That's a fun exit interview for you the next day, though.
Big Ben, good morning.
How many of these guys do you think are coming back the season after this for a full recap show, though?
Probably a couple.
You could get Cousins. I feel like you could get Cousins on like a minute's notice.
I think so. He would come back on anytime we needed him. Okay, so then let's go to episode number 3 of Survivor Blood versus Quarterback. We're down to just 14. Boy, the 16-person format really flies.
It's they should really go back to it once. It's really it goes quickly. It's fun. Just can't have any. You can't have any medevacs because then it's a mess.
Oh, I hope not. Hope we don't have any medevacs. Okay, so let's go to episode 3 here in Survivor Blood versus Quarterback. The immunity challenge here was called a crate idea. In pairs, castaways would race across the field to retrieve 6 large crates painted in their tribe colors. Once the 6 crates were retrieved, the tribes would have to stack the crates. Sort of like when they make like the staircase, they have to go get like that big giant box and move it there and put together their tribe designations, AFC or NFC.
Right. Yeah, I don't remember this challenge in Token Chains, but it sounds good.
Yeah, they've done it a couple more times since then. You ready? Okay. Again, immunity will go to, in this challenge, the AFC. Oh, okay. So the AFC gets off the schneid. Finally, they win immunity. And now the NFC goes to tribal council for the first time. And we find out who will be the first person voted out of the NFC tribe.
Yeah, it's always fun to see a tribe go to tribal for the first time. And there's no shortage of possibilities here.
All right. Of course, fire represents life. The team NFC will dip their torches into the flame and get their fire. Once their torch is out, they will no longer be in the game. So how do you think the alliances go? I feel like the alliance always going to start with one person who's looking to sort of get their numbers. Who is that person on the NFC?
I mean, to me, the leader right now is Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers. And who's in his group?
So I think, you know, it's definitely not Cutler. I think Rodgers can pull in. Rodgers has such skill that he could pull in the NFC East quarterbacks who are supposed to hate each other together. And that's Eli, Tony Romo, and Kirk Cousins, and make a mini like AFC NFC East alliance to go up against, maybe the other quarterbacks. And then I think he pulls in Russell Wilson And I think Jameis is pretty neutral. I think his main target is long term is Cam. But the guy, you know, in terms of like who's a threat to win, because Cutler is a guy you want to bring to the end. But I don't know if you can bring him to the end because people hate him so much.
Nobody's thinking about who's going to the end on day nine.
Well, I've never played Survivor, but that's what I'm thinking about on day nine.
It's too far out into the future. Again, that these are not like the super cerebral Survivor players. You're talking about, you know, professional athletes playing Survivor. I don't think they're worried about like who they're matched up against in the Super Bowl in week three.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, if it was Belichick, he'd be worrying about that. But
he'd be worried about that, but that's not who these guys are.
Yeah, so to me, if you want to say like the person they like the least, maybe having trouble getting along with them at camp, and the person who, you know, Aaron Rodgers maybe has the most beef with outside the game, and we're talking about Jay Cutler.
Yeah, I think so. I think Cutler is the third boot here.
Survivor. But there is a really like shocking, a couple really great tribal, you know, sort of like one-liners where Jameis Winston says about, you know, when they all vote Cutler. I don't know who Cutler votes. Who does Cutler vote?
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but right. So Winston gets up there and he says, Jay, we just vaccinated the tribe from you.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, he said that. And Rodgers gets up there and you know what he says to Jay Cutler?
What does he say?
You know what you did.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
All right. So Jay Cutler, the tribe has spoken, and now we are down to just 13 players left in Survivor Blood versus Quarterback. Okay, let's go to the fourth episode. And this is back in the time when we had our immunity challenge of try any angle. This is where one tribe member would race along a winding path to retrieve a puzzle piece. Each puzzle piece is a large wooden triangular prism with letters written on each of the three faces. Once eight puzzle pieces are retrieved, they would need to put them in the correct spot in their frame. All right, you ready for this?
Yeah. Now, who's sitting out from the NFC?
Oh, that's a great point. We have to sit somebody out.
And do we have to retcon, like retroactively sit guys out of the second tribe? I don't think we do.
No, I don't think so. I feel like that they already said that Eli was the weakest. I feel like maybe he's going to sit out again.
Yeah, but they accidentally sat him out of the reward challenge. They didn't realize the rule because none of them have ever seen Survivor before.
Okay, then who do you sit out, Romo?
I guess Cousins has to sit this guy out.
All right, the team with immunity in tribal number four is the AFC. Oh, what a rally. What a rally now for the AFC. They've made it to 6-6, and now the NFC goes back to tribal council. All right, so we got rid of Cutler at the last vote. But where does the Rodgers alliance want to strike next? And is there a counter alliance forming?
I mean, with seven people, you know, everyone's out there. So, you know,
big swing.
It's a big swing, but also people are exposed. I do think that the Rodgers with the NFC East guys and Russell Wilson seems to be pretty protected. But what if Cam Newton finds an idol at this point?
You think they're going after Cam Newton? And are Cam and Jameis together?
I think maybe Cam and Jameis are together.
So Cam Newton and Jameis, they're together. What can they do if Cam Newton finds an idol?
Well, I think that these guys have never seen Survivor before, so they're not splitting votes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they gave them the DVDs in the hotel, but none of them watched it.
I feel like this is setting up to a massive Superman celebration at Tribal Council that would Kelly Wentworth to shame.
Oh, there's going to be some fake selfies taken with his pretend camera. You know, he's going to be running all over this island. I do think Cam's got an idol, and we're heading to tribal.
Okay, so you think that Cam Newton is about to idol somebody out of the game, and they're going to put the five votes on Cam Newton?
I think they put the five on Newton. They don't know about, you know, they don't know about the idea of a vote split.
All right, so Cam Newton and Jameis Winston, then they're like the witches. Who are they voting for?
I mean, to me, I mean, I don't know. They think they could get Cousins in with, you know, with the young guy alliance, because the young guys here are Cousins, Newton, and Winston, and Russell Wilson. But I think he's entrenched with Rodgers and the Eli, Tony, Roma thing. But why not go after the big gun? Can they get Rodgers here? Can you idle out Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, if Rodgers was coming for Cam Newton, I feel like that would be the play there. He's almost like the savage that you would play your idol against in this scenario. I think Aaron Rodgers just got voted out.
Oh boy, Aaron Rodgers. Sorry, Olivia. We won't see you on the family visit.
No discount double check for Aaron Rodgers. And boy, now Aaron Rodgers and Jay Cutler have to sit at Ponderosa. What a terrible pre-jury trip this is going to be for somebody to have to babysit everybody on here.
This, by the way, this is going to be the most spoiled season ever. I mean, they're going to go out to some club in Malaysia and there's going to be 1,000 pictures on Facebook the next day.
Sure. I mean, you got Johnny Manziel, Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, and now Jay Cutler, all there hanging out in Ponderosa.
Yeah, there's going to be, you need like 25 handlers at least.
All right, so now we're down to 6 versus 6. Now, Akiva, are we going to have a swap here, or do you want to keep things as is?
I think Token Sheens did not have a swap, right?
It did not. No swap in Token Sheens.
Well, we're following Token Sheens' rule here, so no swap.
Okay, good. I kind of like that. It keeps everything nice and straight and easy to follow. Yeah, so here we go.
Know who's on whose tribe here, at least.
All right, episode number 5. Of course, this immunity challenge is going to come down to the thing with like the slingshot, and then you have to catch the ball with the lacrosse stick where JT got his tooth knocked out. 6v6. The tribe with immunity here is going to be AFC wins immunity again. Wow, what a rally here.
Three in a row.
And the NFC is falling apart, especially now. The NFC, they started this game and they were the love tribe. And now all of a sudden this 5-person alliance goes awry. No Aaron Rodgers spearheading the leadership. This is like a rudderless ship in the NFC.
I think what's happening here also is you have the young guys have pulled in Cousins, and now they have this 3-3 split. And, you know, I don't know if Russell Wilson wants to go to Rocks.
No, he doesn't want to go to Rocks. He probably wants to stick with the young guys. I feel like that now Cam, Jameis, Russell Wilson, and Cousins are together. And I feel like either Eli or Tony Romo is going to be the next to go. And who was the chief lieutenant of Aaron Rodgers?
I think it was Romo, and I also think they're so nervous to vote out Eli, because then there's no chance that Peyton won't, you know, try and crush all of them. And then you're really making it to an NFC versus AFC, where the AFC has the numbers right now. So I think you go with the safe bet, and you boot Tony Romo.
You boot Tony Romo. So you think that it's the kind of thing where it's like basically Survivor All-Stars, and there's like a Godfather move from Peyton Manning, and he's almost saying to those guys, like, hey, don't vote out my brother. And so they're like, oh, we want to piss off Peyton Manning, so we got to keep Eli? I mean, I feel like you would get rid of Eli.
You should, but that's, again, they've never seen Survivor, and that's not what they do. They've definitely never seen Survivor All-Stars, and they shouldn't. They should never.
But don't you think that Romo could sell himself as a young, cool guy? He's got his hat on backwards more than Eli is going to be able to sell himself to Cam and James. There's a lot of bad blood between the Giants and the Panthers these days.
Yeah, but I mean, the Eli Peyton getting together to me is, you know, a very intriguing storyline. And first of all, he's getting up there into his late 30s, and he's probably injured after every challenge.
He probably is. I just can't see the scenario. If you're saying like, oh, production could interfere and maybe try to get somebody to keep Eli around so we get that storyline. But I feel like, is the Eli and Peyton Manning storyline going to be that great? If you want Peyton Manning to go far into this game, Eli has to go.
Well, I don't want Peyton Manning to go far, but you know, I'm an impartial observer here. But yeah, if you think that their best move is getting rid of Eli here, let's get rid of Eli.
I think Tony Romo can sort of try to save himself to those guys a little bit more than Eli is going to have some sort of a pitch to save himself to Cam and Jameis and Russell Wilson and Kirk Cousins.
Fair enough. So is that it? Is Eli getting booted 4-2?
I think that Eli is getting booted 5-1. I think that Romo is basically going to flip against Eli. He sees the writing on the wall.
Yeah, I guess he pulls the old like last second move. I don't know. To me, this is really going to, you know, it's the one interesting thing about these quarterbacks is that they're never on the field at the same time. So there won't be any like real payback on the field.
But it's going to be very interesting if Peyton Manning is going to want payback when he sees the new NFC tribe Eli voted out last night.
Yeah, Peyton Manning's face here is going to be epic.
Yeah, great Manning face right here. And so now, is Peyton Manning going to be on tilt? Is he like really have a vendetta against the NFC at this point?
I think at this point, you know, if they win this challenge, he's going to be pulling a Tony and yelling out top six with, you know, with the rest of his AFC tribe.
Now, this is going to be very interesting here. We have now there are six quarterbacks left in the AFC tribe and only five quarterbacks left in the NFC tribe. So this is going to be a huge challenge with the merge looming next week. You ready for this?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Coming down to it, this immunity challenge, the final pre-merge immunity, is going to be a sandstone shootout. Each tribe uses a slingshot to shoot out a tile in three towers full of sand. After the tile is broken, actually, instead of the slingshot, we should have a football.
Right, like when Jeff Kent was there, they basically had a pop-up challenge, so I think it works here. And really, Hogaboom, there was a throwing challenge also with him, so why
right,
not?
It's like an accuracy challenge to knock the sand out if you have to break the ceramic tile. Okay, the tribe that is going to win immunity here is going to be, and this is really going to be huge for the post-merge game, the NFC wins immunity. Wow, they stop the bleeding.
Wow, and an accuracy challenge. I mean, even, you know, Cam Newton's the league MVP. He's not even at 60% completion. That's pretty shocking.
Yeah. I don't know who really was the person that won the challenge.
There must have been
here.
A lot of fighting over who has to, you know, throw the balls and stuff, but I hear you.
Maybe Russell Wilson. Maybe Russell Wilson was the star in this challenge.
Okay.
Okay, so here we go. AFC Tribe, they haven't been back to Tribal Council since day six, but here they are now on day 18, headed back to Tribal Council, and they're going to go into the merge with their five. Who's their five that they want to stick with? Who's the person that they're most worried about flipping to the NFC?
I mean, it's a good question. I think, you know, they were, I don't know. You're all these guys have just been on their one team, you know, or have just been in the AFC in Peyton Manning's case. So it's not like there's any real connection to the other conference. You know, it's really tough to see like who's going to be the big flipper. You know, it's not going to be Peyton because he's out for blood. So then, right. Are they worried that Tom Brady is going to flip to the NFC?
No, I don't think so. I think that there's two people that you'd be worried about that are going to flip. One is Rivers. Is Rivers going to flip? That you feel like that Cutler's not there. Rivers hates Cutler. And so could Rivers end up flipping that he hates all these other guys that he's still on the tribe with in Brady and Manning? And Luck, they're not letting him do anything. So he's somebody who could be a malcontent here. And then also Brock Osweiler is such a wild card that there's all these young guys on the other tribe that I feel like Osweiler could be a good candidate to flip. I feel like at this point, even though Manning and Brady don't like each other, I feel like where else are they going at this point in time?
Yeah, we got a marriage of convenience, Brady and Manning. So who do you go? Do you go after Osweiler or do you go after Philip Rivers?
It really comes down to, do you keep the malcontent that you know around or the kid who's impressionable that you don't really know that's more under the radar?
I mean, I just think personally they like Osweiler more than Philip Rivers.
Manning doesn't.
Manning, I guess, doesn't. And also during the challenge, Osweiler was throwing the balls. And they said, oh, Manning, like, you go behind him. And if he messes up, then you have to go in. And Manning said, I'm not backing up Osweiler in this challenge. And he left, basically. So
you think Peyton Manning is pushing for Osweiler to go?
I think that makes sense.
Okay. All right. Brock Osweiler. He is undateable. He does not make the merge. This is better TV to get Brock Osweiler out pre-merge.
Yeah, probably are sort of like the least of the 16 names on the, you know, he proved himself. Do you think Osweiler is getting a return call or no?
Boy, no, I don't think so. I don't think he's a return.
I don't think so either. I don't think. Okay. So. Are these players eligible to be on regular returning player seasons? Because that would be interesting.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So here we are. We're at the merge here of Survivor Token Genes, and we are ready to go. Now they did have a medevac of Joe Dowdle here, but we don't need to have a medevac here, right?
Yeah, no, this is a perfect 5 versus 5 situation. We're not getting a medevac out of here.
It's day 19. Here we go. We're going to go into our first individual immunity challenge. And really, this is shaping up to be a classic 5-5 split unless somebody ends up flipping from the AFC to the NFC.
Yeah, I mean, Rocks are definitely in the picture here.
Yeah, we could go to Rocks. This would be huge. Okay, so in terms of our immunity challenge here, I think that the best way to do this would be some sort of a random number generator. And so with this random number, We're going to pick, we'll have it do one number, and I've assigned everybody a number from 1 to 10.
Okay. Sounds good.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
And the challenge today is the challenge where you have to hang on to the pole for the longest amount of time. Okay. Tyson won this in Survivor Tokachins.
Yeah. Really a classic challenge, but not an easy challenge for enormous men.
Okay. Well, one of them is going to win it. Okay. So the person who wins immunity here, individual immunity, is number two on my paper. It's Joe Flacco has individual immunity headed into tribal council number 7.
Okay, good job, Joe. He's an elite immunity challenge.
And this is huge for the AFC because that it only means that there are 4 people left. Now, there's no idol in play here, right?
I don't think anyone's found it yet, no.
Nobody's found it? Why don't we, just to make it fun, why don't we assign an immunity idol to another random person? Let me give another number, okay?
Perfect.
So one of the 10 players left in the game will have an immunity idol from here on out, and that is random person number 8, which happens to be on the NFC tribe, and that is Jameis Winston with an idol.
Oh, boy. He's got an idol in his pocket. Yeah.
All right, here we go. So it's a 5-5 split. Idol for Jameis, immunity necklace for Flacco. How does this play out? Is anybody flipping between the AFC and the NFC?
There's definitely some feelers on both sides. You know, we know who's not flipping, but I think the NFC is trying hard for Rivers. And the AFC sees Romo as like, oh, you're not in the, you know, you're not in the majority alliance there. Like you're number 5.
Yes, you know. You're 5, Romo. I think Romo is considering this.
I do think Romo's considering this. Now, I think he's strongly considering. The issue is that it makes sense. You know, one of the people they're going to be targeting is Jameis, who's got an idol.
Why do you think that Jameis is being targeted? Because they know he has an idol?
Well, maybe their main target here is Cam, who's like the tribe leader at this point.
Yeah, I think he's sort of taken over.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, Jameis is maybe a secondary target here, but I guess they're targeting Cam. But did the NFC have any luck trying to swing Rivers over?
I don't think so. Why would Rivers go with all these young bucks in the NFC?
He probably wouldn't. I mean, he doesn't have a home. He's so, like, lonely.
He's pretty cranky.
Yeah, he misses all his kids. Although, by the way, if you had 8 kids, you would play, you would, you know, pretend to play Survivor. You'd be out there every day. I mean, come on, this guy, even if he gets voted out, he's like, oh, I'll just hang out. I don't need to be in the game anymore.
I could totally see Romo flipping to the AFC and wanting to be in with Brady and Manning and Rivers and Flacco and Luck.
Yeah, I think that's what happens here. I think Romo,
because I think that Manning and Brady promised Romo top 3.
Yeah, and they don't know that this is a final 2 season yet. Only we know that.
Yeah, they're not really thinking it through that it's a 16-person season. So I think that they go into this vote, and I think that who's the NFC putting their votes on?
I think the NFC puts their votes on Peyton because they know he's coming for blood.
Yeah, they know he's pissed. So they put their votes on Peyton, and Romo might even tell Peyton about this, and then Romo ends up flipping, and they put their votes on Cam. Is that, are they going to be right on the nose with Cam, or are they going to say, well, maybe Cam has an idol and go for one of his lieutenants?
Well, if they go for a lieutenant, it could be Jameis who's gone. I think you go for Cam here.
Okay. And Cam Newton, first person voted out of the merge. Wow.
Doesn't even make the jury, the MVP.
Doesn't even make the jury. Okay. So this is a very, very exciting post. What a great tribal council to start off the merge.
Oh, this was epic. And Jameis keeps his idol, right? He didn't play his idol.
Oh, no, he didn't play the idol. And now here we go. We do have a witches scenario where now it seems like, okay, now you have 6 people in the AFC alliance, which includes Tony Romo. And then it's Jameis, Russell Wilson, and Kirk Cousins. Those are the witches.
Yeah, but I think they have a better chance of getting a couple people to flip over here.
Yeah, and they have Jameis's idol.
They have Jameis's idol, and they're only down, what are they down, 5-4?
They're down 6-3 here at final 9.
Oh, well, but 6-3, but AFC, NFC is 5-4. Like, is Romo in a cast situation where he's never coming back, or Romo might come back?
Why would Romo come back? He's been promised top 3 with Brady and Manning.
Yeah, but at the tribal, the second it's over, you know, Russell Wilson says, Tony Romo, a 0% chance of winning the game. Like,
oh, absolutely. They definitely feel like Romo's a flipper, but Romo feels like he's got a good enough social game. Do you think there's a big fallout between Jameis and Russell Wilson and Kirk Cousins?
No, I think they stick together. They don't have anybody.
No, but are they really just like going off on Romo back at camp?
Oh, yeah. Romo is like, yeah, they're yelling at him. He's basically crying.
Now, do you feel like Brady and Manning and Luck and Flacco are like sticking up for Tony Romo?
No, they're not sticking up for him, actually.
Oh, Tony Romo's not going to like this.
No.
All right. It really should stand up for him. They really should be like, hey, you leave him alone.
Yeah, I've heard that. You really should, when you have a cast, you know, a tribe mate who's getting yelled at, you should stand up for them.
Yeah, they said like, hey, Tony's a good guy. We love Tony around here. Tony, we won't let them bully you like this.
Yeah, but what's Tony going to do? He's already made his decision.
Is he upset that he's getting bullied by Jameson, Russell Wilson, and Kirk Cousins?
Well, you think he's going to quit? Is Tony Romo quitting the game here?
No.
Okay. Is he a medevac? I mean, I think he might regret his decision like in a confessional, but I don't think he's made his bed. I don't think there's anything he can do.
All right, here we go. So let's go to our second immunity challenge after the merge. It's called Rope-A-Dope. The castaways are attached to a rope, which is threaded through obstacles. Tyson also won this in the original Survivor token chains. Okay, we have random numbers assigned to numbers 1 through 9 now. And the person who wins immunity here is the person who is number 3, which is Andrew Luck with immunity.
Ooh, Luck has had a very quiet season so far.
He's been under the radar, but now here he is with immunity here. And now what happens? Do we end up with somebody from the who? Now, who is the AFC targeting out of Jameis, Russell Wilson, and Cousins?
I mean, I think, you know, they're pretty much, on the same footing. I feel like to them, who's the biggest threat to win? It's probably, I mean, Jameis is such a wild card. You don't know what he's capable of at Final Tribal. You know, Wilson has won a Super Bowl. The only thing is Luck has a lot of confidence here because he has immunity. Does he go for the biggest scalp of them all?
Who's that, Russell Wilson?
No. Does he go for Peyton? Does he say, all right, we got the numbers. We can afford to lose one.
See, but he would need at 9 to bring over himself and somebody else. So
no, does he talk to the rest of the tribe? He's got Romo. So they're at 6-3 in terms of the alliance. So can they vote out Peyton without telling the witches?
See, can Luck grab Romo and vote out Peyton? I feel like that Romo is on board to go to the final 3 with Manning and Brady.
Well, Luck doesn't know that.
Luck doesn't know that. So you think that Luck is trying to make big moves behind the scenes? I feel like that there's this whole thing where Manning and Brady, they have Romo buying into their sub-alliance. They have Luck buying into the sub. Like, they're basically, like, making the same deal to everybody out there. They're making that deal to Rivers of, like, hey, going to the final 3 with us, going to the final 3 with us. So the problem would be for Manning and Brady if Rivers and Romo and Luck and Flacco all started talking about, hey, who are you going to the final 3 with?
Yeah, I mean, that happens in every scenario, but I guess that's fair. So who's their main target here then?
See, I almost feel like that there needs to be this final 6 sticking together because I kind of feel like these NFL quarterbacks are going to pretty much, you know, stick to the plan. And I think that the problem here is going to be that somebody's going to spill the beans to the witches over here. And I think that there is going to be another idol play.
Ooh.
Somebody's getting idled out of the game.
They're going after Jameis, but he's playing his idol.
Or they're going after Russell Wilson, and Jameis is going to give his idol to Russell Wilson.
Oh, how generous of Jameis Winston. What a gentleman.
Yeah. I think that's what's going to happen, because there's still too many people for the AFC to start cannibalizing themselves.
Yeah, okay. All right, so they put their votes. Do they split their votes?
No,
That really beats up that the idol at that point is useless.
The NFL QBs, I think, are not doing the 3-3-3 vote split.
Or they try, but someone messes, you know,
Not a super sophisticated strategy season from the NFL quarterbacks. Again, these are like celebrity players that they don't really know all the ins and outs of Survivor strategy.
Yeah, they've never seen an episode most of the time. Yeah, so they're putting their votes on Russell, who's maybe the most powerful of the witches.
Yeah.
But Jameis is giving Russell the idol.
He's giving the idol. Who told Russell Wilson or Jameis that they were going to play the idol or that they were going to be the person voted out? Like, is it Romo? Was Romo like trying to curry favor?
And I think Romo lets it slip. Like, he doesn't do it on purpose, but he accidentally blurts it out.
Right. So they sort of say like, hey, Romo, like, we know you're not a bad guy. Just so we know who's the person that's going home tonight. It's like, all right, it's Russell Wilson. It's not you, Jameis. It's like, okay, great. And so then he plays the idol on Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I think so. Now, who is their target? Who's the witch's target?
Do they burn Romo? I mean, do they go after one of the big dogs in Manning and Brady?
I mean, that's savage to go after Romo here when he's telling them, and he's, you know, but I guess they figure Romo is a lost cause. You know, they're not, they know, like, maybe they could get someone who's been quiet in the game, like Philip Rivers or Joe Flacco, to switch back to them, but they know Romo's gone. So, I mean, that's a great, that's, you know, a great scene there where Romo spills the beans and then Romo gets the blindside.
But Romo has established himself as a flipper. Romo could go either way. They still are going to need to get one person to come back with them at the next vote.
It's true.
But
they
could get it to be 4-4.
There have been so many, you know, harsh words between them and Romo at this point that it's like when Cass flips, she's not the person they try and get. They try and get Tony. They try and get Wu. They know Cass is a lost cause.
Yeah. But who are they going to crack in this AFC 5 if they vote out Romo at this point?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, they're in big trouble. I mean, Flacco has been so under the radar. You know, is he a possibility? Like, he knows he's not in the main alliance there.
Boy, you think they put the votes on Flacco?
No, I think Flacco is the guy that they hope stays with them. I think Flacco is the least likely to get
okay,
the vote.
So this is exciting. All right, so Romo ends up getting voted out. He gets idled out of the game after he was the person that told them. It's a real boner for Tony Romo. Again, a real, Tony Romo can't do it in a big spot. He ends up getting voted out at final nine.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Romo is, you know, he it's a tough situation for him here.
All right. So here we go. Now that the AFC 5 is still there, there are still the three witches left of Winston, Wilson, and Cousins. All right, so let's go down and let's have our next immunity challenge. And our immunity challenge is going to be this time around. I think this is the one where Tyson ends up getting voted out. I think this is going to be shuffleboard.
Yeah.
Not super exciting for the NFL quarterbacks, but hey, those are the breaks.
I don't believe they've done that one since.
All right. So here we go. So shuffleboard for the NFL quarterbacks. Let's go to our random number generator, and we'll pick a number from 1 to 8. All right, number 5 here, and that would be back in the AFC 5, and of course, that is Phil Rivers with immunity at the final 8.
Oh, wow. Good job, Philip. And he yells something about his kids. He's doing it for his kids, and then he names them, and that takes like half the episode.
Yeah. All right, so Phil Rivers with immunity here, and so... Now, what happens here? Is this going to be sort of the beginning of pagonging? Because at final 8, you would really need 2 people to flip from the AFC. Is there a twosome that you could get to flip with the witches?
I mean, if there is a twosome, then it's probably Flacco and Luck.
I just don't think that there's enough there. Why are Flacco and Luck going to go and switch? I mean, then and when they get to the final 5, the witches are just going to pick them off. I think that this is a pretty easy vote here. And I think it's either Winston, Wilson, or Cousins.
I think they're so worried about the idols with Wilson and Winston that you go after Cousins here.
Okay, Kirk Cousins. He is voted out. He is the third member of the jury. Okay, so now Cam, Romo, and Cousins sit on the jury. We're down to the final 7 here in Survivor Blood versus Quarterback.
Wait, Cam, it's an 8-person jury? Cam didn't make the jury.
Cam didn't make the... Oh, wow. So... That's also huge. So
yeah, it's just Romo. It's just Romo and Cousins on the jury. Got to play by Tokenshin's rules.
Okay, so Romo and Cousins sit on the jury. All NFC East jury so far. And so let's go to our next challenge here. We're down to the final 7. The person here with immunity is going to be number 7 themselves. So one of the witches is going to have immunity here. And the person with immunity is going to be Russell Wilson. Could spell trouble now for Jameis.
Wait, but I have a little bit of a rebuttal here.
Yes.
With the instead of flipping a coin, wasn't this the one that Steven wins? The right. Famous challenge. Isn't this the math challenge here?
All right. So what are you saying?
I think that if it's a math challenge, we got to go by intellect. And I have a list of every quarterback's Wonderlic score in front of me.
Okay. That being said, that is not the challenge that Steven has won. So this is where the immunity challenge here was snag, drag, and bag. So we can do that for the next challenge. But Russell Wilson...
I think that's the next challenge after this. You're right.
Okay. So here at the final 7, Russell Wilson is protected. Jameis Winston is not. Does the AFC 5 hold here?
I mean, this is a good time to make a really big move within, you know, your core four, where, you know, main three people alliance. So I don't know. It's nice to split up Jameis and Russell at this point. But then Russell becomes such a wild card. I don't know what you do here. Like, do you, if you're the AFC guys, do you cut off whoever you think is your fifth and then stick to a solid four?
I feel like that once Russell Wilson ends up sort of separated from Jameis, I feel like that you might be more likely to work with them. But I do feel like it's, unless you had three people flipping over to go and jump with them, that unless it's like that Flacco and Luck and Phil Rivers all talk and realize that Manning and Brady are giving the same deal to everybody, and they're like, hey, screw you guys. This is like basically that movie where Judd Apatow's wife and Heidi Klum and who else is it? Cameron Diaz. They all get together and realize that Jamie Lannister is all having sex with them.
Oh, you may have imagined that one. I don't even know if that's a real movie, Rob.
That's a real movie.
Jamie Lannister.
Yeah.
Okay. I missed that one.
So for those three, what if they did talk? What if they did realize that Brady and Manning is making the same deal and they had like have a, like a group meeting and confront them?
Yeah, and then they're going after Manning?
Or Brady, who's the mastermind?
I think like the edit plays it like that, but I do think at the end of the day, they probably just go with the safe bet here and get Jameis out of here.
Okay, get Jameis out of there. Okay, let's go to the final six now. And now this is your Steven math challenge.
Yes, I think this has to go to whoever has the highest Wonderlic remaining.
Okay, all right, so who's that going to be? Brady, Flacco, Luck, Manning, Phil Rivers. Can't believe he's still there at the final six. That's a real upset. And then Russell, Muscle, Wilson.
Okay, so the highest Wonderlic on this thing I have here is 48 for Ryan Fitzpatrick, but he didn't make the season.
No, nope.
Neither did Blaine Gabbert or Alex Smith, whose Wonderlics are in the 40s. Eli has a 39, but he's no longer with us. And then Stafford is a 38. I got Romo at a 37. Andrew Luck has a 37. So I guess Andrew Luck wins this challenge.
All right. Final six. Luck is immune. The AFC five is there. Do they complete the pagonging and take out Russell Wilson here at the final six?
I don't think so. I think at this point they have to cannibalize themselves.
Okay. So do you think it's the thing where the three guys who are getting the same deal from Manning and Brady, do they end up talking?
I think that their main target was Luck, but he won immunity.
Okay.
So I mean, do they go after Rivers, who's never been in the final three alliance, who if you bring to the end and he talks about how he has to feed his eight kids, you're in big trouble.
Yeah. And he's also kind of a jerk, but are people saying like, oh, I wish I want to get to the final three with him, but it's the final two seasons. So it's hard to sit next to somebody who really ends up sort of, I mean, it's just so obvious. I feel like that Manning and Brady both feel like that the only person that they could get the money against is the other one. And they're just trying to make this like a bum rush to the end with each other.
Well, I do think Manning and Brady think they could beat like a Rivers or a Luck.
Yeah. But they both feel like that they're going to like try to like scumbag the other one at the final three.
Right. Not knowing that it's not a final three. And, you know, who knows if they get there together.
But don't you think that they both are saying to each other, like, yeah, I feel like I want to go to the end with you because you're the only person that I feel like that the jury might give me the money against.
Yeah. They're also saying like, you're the only person who understands me, stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all long con Manning versus Brady here in the season.
Yes.
All right. So let's go through this final six. Who's getting voted off?
I think Philip Rivers.
Rivers. Wow. He'd be such a good jury goat.
He would be, but I think they're a little worried. You know, you always say like, oh, that person had no chance. And then people come on for the exit interviews with you like, oh, no, if they made it to the end, like they had a real chance because. And so for Rivers, I think it's the kids thing. I think it's like he's so sad that his team is moving.
All right. So Rivers goes out at the final six. OK, he goes on to the jury with Romo and Cousins and Jameis Winston's down to the final five. This is very exciting.
Yeah, this is a big time final five. And is this the finale or four is the finale?
Four is the finale in this season.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't get much bigger than this final five.
Okay. And so basically it's four against one. It's everybody against Russell Wilson right now.
It is everyone against Russell.
Yeah. All right. So here we go. And this is the episode where Coach got voted out in the original Survivor Token Jeans.
So does Russell get sent to Exile Island before the challenge here?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. And then the challenge is the thing where you have to stand there with like your baby toe supporting you. That's the only thing supporting you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so the person here with individual immunity, boy, it's really trouble for Russell Wilson if he can't end up winning it. It is Russell Wilson, number five. God. Wow.
Oh, he pulls like a Cheyenne. He's like yelling in their faces.
What drama? Russell Wilson is immune, and now the AFC tribe has to cannibalize themselves again.
I think here it immediately becomes clear that either Tom Brady or Peyton Manning is going down in this episode.
Right. Luck and Flacco have to vote with Russell Wilson here and take out either Manning or Brady.
I think they realize that they've all been had. And
they've all been had. So who are they more mad at, Peyton or Brady?
I think Peyton rubbed them the wrong way with some of the stuff that happened after Eli went down, you know, got knocked out. So,
all right. Fifth place finish for Peyton Manning. Wow. And now it's 3-1. Brady all of a sudden is the odd man out.
Yeah, I think Brady's in big trouble. He's almost in the Wilson spot. I mean, Manning, you know, Manning gives, I think Probst actually kisses Manning. He pulls the opposite of the Dawson when Manning gets voted out. But
now what's going on social media? Are people like posting on Russell Wilson's Instagram that they're really mad, or is Russell Wilson like the hero underdog?
I think he gets the hero edit here. He's been, you know, I mean, this is an epic win. Like, you don't see a 4-1 and the person who's the one wins the immunity very often.
Yeah.
You know,
so I now at the final four, now Brady has to spin it. Hey, if Russell Wilson gets to the end, he's going to win. So yeah, we got to get out Russell Wilson.
It's an NFC jury, Rob. We got Jameis, Cousins, and Romo on the jury already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The jury will vote for Russell Wilson if he gets there.
Yeah. I mean, Peyton might not, because Peyton's still mad about the Eli thing.
Sure.
But I said,
that's my one vote, maybe.
Yeah. But I do think Wilson at this point is a massive threat.
He's a big jury threat. But will Luck and Flacco see it? Luck and Flacco hold all the cards right now.
Yeah, that's much unlike the NFL season. It's all about Luck and Flacco.
Okay, so let's go to our final four challenge. This is ultimately when Taj got voted out. This is going to be, you have to go through a big ropes course and then ultimately solve a puzzle. All right, so there are four people left. 1, 2, 3, 4. Random number will generate that number 3. Andrew Luck wins immunity. So Luck and Flacco have a decision. Do they stick with Brady, who they've been with the whole time, or do they vote out Brady? And then I do think that the move is you got to vote out Russell Wilson here. This is like the Kelly Wentworth, the Seattle thing. If Russell Wilson makes it to the end, he will win.
I agree. I think, yeah, he is from Washington also. I do think that you have to do that. And I also, you know, they had the auction a couple weeks ago. And they had, unbeknownst to them, because it had never happened at this point in Token Sheens, one of the rewards, you know, if you paid $500, you know, a la Tony or Spencer, you could get, you know, a clue to an immunity idol. But yeah. Wilson passed on the immunity idol.
Oh, yeah. Bad job there, Russell Wilson.
He passed when he wasn't supposed to pass. If he had just, you know, run to the idol, he would have been he would have been golden, and he probably would have won the game. Yeah,
he would have been fine. Okay, so Russell Wilson, definitely an all-star appearance in the offing for Russell Wilson.
Oh, he's coming back for Heroes Villains, no question.
Okay, so we're down to the final three. And again, it's just like in Survivor Cambodia. We're going to be, hey, you got to handle the balls and drop the ball in there. And then the thing spins around, they come out of the cage. Now, Tom Brady, there is a little bit of speculation that maybe his ball is a little underinflated and it's moving faster than everybody else's.
Yeah, and they call in production. They measure the PSIs of the dozen balls. But
all right, so we're down to our final three. The person that is immune here going to the final two is none other than Joe Flacco.
Oh my God. He's like Joe Anglim, Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco is immune. So he will cast the one vote. Who does Flacco want to sit next to in the end? Does he want to sit next to Brady, or does he want to sit next to Andrew Luck?
I mean, Flacco really hasn't, Luck hasn't upset anybody. So, you know, you almost say like, oh, I want to sit next to Luck. But other than winning immunity, has Luck done anything? Hasn't Brady been the mastermind? You know, he was one of the two main guys in this game with Peyton. And he somehow, even though he had a huge target, gets to the end. Is there any way on earth, unless he thinks that Brady is this jury goat, that Flacco can bring Brady to the final two?
I think that maybe the move is bringing Brady to the final two because he is such a jury goat. I mean, take a look at this jury. Is this jury giving Brady the money? Is Romo, Cousins, Jameis, Phil Rivers, are those guys, you know, Russell Wilson, are those guys voting to give the money to Tom Brady? You're going to give $1 million to Tom Brady?
Well, you know, it's always interesting when money, it doesn't happen often, but when money comes up as like, a, you know, oh, this person needs it or this person doesn't. You see it in Samoa a little bit when Jason gets up there and says that none of them need the money. But for here, it's so absurd because these guys are all so fabulously wealthy, but Brady is much richer than anybody else.
The prize is still only $1 million.
Right, right. They almost don't care about it. It's really more about the titles.
But they have been beaten by Brady in so many things. Brady's going to win a championship in Survivor 2?
I mean, you're saying that he's in his mind at that point that Brady's the GOAT. And that
I
you bring Brady
so.
To the end.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, right. Brady's got like hundreds of millions of dollars also. How could you give him another million? I think you're right. Flacco boots luck.
I can't believe Tom Brady has made the final tribal council of Survivor Blood versus Quarterback. So here we go. Final tribal council. And Tom Brady is like, look, I had the biggest target on my back coming into this game. And I played my ass off and I put you guys on the jury. I made this alliance and I played better than anybody else did. I deserve. He pounds the table.
I already know this is a fake season because you just had an opening statement and they don't do that anymore. Are there any juicy jury questions here?
Well, I think that, I mean, for Flacco, he doesn't really have any blood on his hands. It's like if somebody who's kind of hated by a bunch of people on the jury, at least coming into this season, and is seen as somebody who they didn't like. And then you have Flacco, who was sort of like the underling. Maybe is it a little bit of like a Sophie versus coach thing?
Maybe, but I do think like Peyton gets up there, and Peyton still maybe respects Brady. Oh. But Peyton gets up there, and well, what do you think? What do you think about
Peyton? I was going to say, does Peyton do a half Murphy here, or does he not want Brady to win?
I don't think he does a half Murphy. I think he says to Flacco, Joe, what did you do? Name one big move that you made this season.
Yeah, what was Flacco's biggest move in the game? And, you know, it's tough that he didn't really have a big move.
He didn't. I mean, he's just going to fall back. He's going to mention 10 times that he won immunity at Final Three.
Yes.
He's like, and I brought Brady. You know, people, I didn't want to bring Luck who coasted on his laurels. And then he's like losing Luck's vote by insulting him.
Yeah, so Luck is going to vote for Brady here.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. What do the NFC guys do? The NFC guys, are they pro Brady or pro Flacco?
I mean, they're really the deciding factor because, you know, it's a majority NFC jury with Wilson, with Romo, Cousins, and Jameis.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, who made Wilson flip? Was it Brady or was it Manning?
Because
I could see like Wilson, I could see Wilson going with Brady. He respects him. You know, Brady has two Super Bowls. Wilson, has one. Brady did beat Wilson in the Super Bowl last year, so he might be a little annoyed at him.
Yeah, I think that back at that point in time when it was Flacco and Luck who voted with Russell Wilson, I think that Russell Wilson still respects that. And I think that that was like a little bit of a glimmer of hope for those NFC guys that they were able to turn against the evil empire. I think at the end of the day, it was like, okay, I get it that you felt like you were going to lose to me. And maybe Flacco says like Wilson, if I was sat there with you, I knew I would lose because you were such a great player this season. And he sort of like, you know, really does like a Malcolm and Cochran thing back in Survivor Caramoan.
Yeah. So are you saying that all of the NFC guys are voting as a block?
I would say, I think Flacco. The witches are all voting for Flacco.
And we said Manning is definitely voting Brady.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll give, so this is really coming down to, I think that Romo and Rivers are going to be the swing votes here.
Yeah. I mean, Romo flipped to Brady though. You know, why did Romo flip to Brady if he doesn't like him? Like, yeah, I feel like it wasn't Flacco who brought Romo over.
Yeah. But the thing with Tony Romo was that the witches really screwed him over. Remember when Romo ended up telling those guys that he was going to, that he was trying to like do them a solid and then they played the idol and got him out. So I think that Romo is going to be pretty burned up about this whole business. And he's going to vote for Brady.
So does it all come down to Philip Rivers?
Yes, it does.
Oh my gosh. We haven't had a 4-3 in a while.
and Phil Rivers said, I mean, they voted him out at Final Six for like no reason. It was just like they were worried about he's going to talk about his kids. And he was a loyal part of the AFC alliance. I mean, who does he hold responsible for that, Flacco or Brady?
I think he gets up there and he says, I wish I could vote for neither of you.
Yeah, he's pissed.
Does he get like the closer spot? Is he the seventh guy to get up and speak?
Yeah, he's very angry and he's really like wagging his finger in their face.
Yeah, the name's the all
most
his kids
angry
again.
Juror.
Yeah, okay. Oh yeah, he gives the speech. He calls them some like Disney witch name or something.
All right, and he's like, hey, I'm gonna flip a coin right now. Heads, I vote for Brady. Tails, I vote for Flacco.
Uh-huh. Okay, so he flips it. I don't know how he gets a coin. I guess he brings it from Ponderosa. That's fine.
He brings it. Okay, so heads is Brady, tails is Flacco.
Yeah, but then he flips it, but you don't see the outcome until Probst comes back and reads the votes.
Okay, well, I have flipped the coin. You ready for it?
Well, okay, so now season over. And by the way, in this fake season, does Probst come in weirdly between like random commercial breaks and talk about the season? Or does that not happen this season?
No, that happens. That happens.
Okay. That's like an every season thing now. All right. So Probst comes and it's also like 10:40 because that's the direction they're going.
Yes.
You know, it gets a little later every year. So now there's basically going to be no reunion. We're going to cut into the news at this point.
No, we'll have a reunion. We got to have a reunion because we got to really milk this for the ratings.
Okay. Fine. Like, so
yeah.
Yeah. 10:25. Probst gets up there. It's 3-3. He reads the last vote. And who is it?
All right. The winner of Survivor Blood versus Quarterback is Joe Flacco.
Oh my God, he is elite.
He is elite. He did it.
It's a little bit like Amber winning All-Stars.
Yep. And so Tom Brady, he's the he should have won guy that he's bitter. Boston fans are going nuts. They're boycotting CBS. They're going to all protesting how we should have won. We got screwed. Brady got robbed.
Yeah, I think like even on the evolution of strategy fake seasons that you're going to do, where mm-hmm. you analyze all the fake seasons after you do 10 of them.
Yeah.
I think you even wonder like, how did Flacco get cast? Because now I'm thinking that now, like in hindsight, like Ryan Fitzpatrick should have gotten a spot. And here he
you
is.
You said
he won the season.
Flacco was definite. And again, that's what always happens. The people that are the threats, they end up sort of getting picked off. And even though it was an amazing season that Brady was able to get to the end with that big target on his back, in the end, too many people had animosity towards him.
Yeah, it's a Boston guy losing an All-Star season 4-3.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. What a great season, Survivor Blood versus Quarterback.
Yeah, I'd say it's top three for sure. It's with heroes, villains, and fans' favorites. No question.
Does this get you ready for the NFL playoffs?
I feel like now, I mean, unfortunately, our champion, we can't watch him this week, but I feel like I know these players better now, for sure.
Now we know them better. All right, Akiva, this was way too long of an exercise. To the three people left listening, do we have a hashtag?
I think we'll just give them our phone number. They could call us.
It has to be something about Flacco is elite.
But there's so many, you know, that's you'll get a lot of like PFD commenter stuff then if you do that. I don't know. What do we have? you don't want like a Big Ben Ted Rogers Jr. thing?
No. So what do you want? Brady got screwed? What's the hashtag for the season? Bitter Rivers?
Okay, Bitter Rivers, that's fine.
The signing vote. Lonely Bitter Rivers. All right. So great job. Of course, you could hear more about what Akiva and I are talking about on our Seinfeld weekly podcast on posterrecaps.com. We're also going to be talking Making a Murderer by popular demand.
I mean, we went from last night podcasting about Seinfeld, which is, you know, like a silly exercise, to today, which is beyond ridiculous. We'd have to like put our serious faces on for tomorrow.
Yes. Well, we're going to talk about Making a Murderer. Akiva has some hot takes about that. We're going to go into all of that on postshowrecaps.com. So looking forward to that. Of course, you could follow Akiva on Twitter. He's at Keeve26. I'm at Rob Sisner. Looking forward to reading your comments about this very wacky podcast on robhasawebsite.com. Akiva, anything else?
No, I feel like we've hit a low point and we can go.
Yes. Congratulations to Mike Piazza on being inducted into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame as well.
Yeah, that's what happens when you do an 8-hour podcast. Like, things happen in the real world.
Things happen in the real world. All right, everybody, have a good one. And we'll see, based on your response, how many comments do we have to get before we sign off on the coach's Survivor?
I mean, but that's an unfair sort of metric because most of the comments are going to be like, never have a Kivon again.
Right.
Don't do that. So that's not, you know, to me, it's like there may be thousands of those comments. I couldn't get to the end. Like, yeah, why is this in my podcast
feed? Unsubscribe. Right. All right. Have a good one, everybody. Take care.